I got sound if you want to go.
Ready? Rolling.
And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, talking now.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Anyway, this is Super Dave on the All Show on 88.9 Radio Free Pasadena. And before... So anyways, coming up, we got some Pennywise and some Beastie Boys. But first, these commercials.
Oh, no habla retardo, Speedy Gonzalez.
Damn, is it Christmas already that we need sweaters and it's winter time? So anyways...
The poor guy can't help it. He's Mexican.
I think it's hot. It's hot. It's hot. It's tight. It's a hit, man, and I like it. I'm gonna go get it. That's the keeper right there.
Your gayness does not define you. Your Mexicanness is what defines you.
I'm in love. I'm in love with my mattress.
You know, you're lazy even for a Mexican.
And now,
orange?
Did somebody order Mexican?
Our feature presentation.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
For those of you who didn't see, Rob Durden is part of Robin Big. And we'll talk more about that and more with Rob Durden. Again, Rob is getting 41. Rob Durden is in the studio. He is half of Robin Big.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Looking forward to Rob Durden today. He's coming by today, too, right?
Oh, no. Today is Rob Durdick.
Oh, yeah. Different guy.
Different guy.
Okay.
I see. Thursday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, your phone calls on any topic, 1-800-520-1067. I suppose before we go to the calls, Kevin, we might as well hear from you how excited you were watching the U-Haul chase last
best.
Night.
It was the best. It's rarely a woman.
Here's the news story for folks who missed it. I'm sure Kevin spent every minute of 2.5 hours glued to his TV.
A woman who led officers on a wild pursuit in a stolen U-Haul truck is facing criminal charges this morning. The pursuit started on the southbound 14 freeway in the Antelope Valley yesterday afternoon. Officers say when they tried to stop the stolen rental truck, the driver took off. Suspect led officers onto Interstate 5, then to the 10.
Did we find out why she was running, by the way? Have we heard the answer to that yet?
I did not see that.
Well, they said it was stolen.
Yeah, but a lot of times it's more than just that, and maybe yeah, not.
I wonder,
maybe that's all.
Is that why they were pulling her over in the first place, Lisa? Because they knew that vehicle was stolen.
This is the first I've heard of the story.
Yeah, they said that they tried to pull over the stolen vehicle, so I'm guessing that they ran the plates or something. I don't know.
And onto Pacific Coast Highway, it was about 2 hours and more than 100 miles later. The pursuit finally came to an end in the Somas area of Ventura County. And as you can see here, the woman tried to make a run for it when the truck ran out of gas. She even attempted to carjack another vehicle. As you can see there, she was tackled by an officer. That suspect faces a host of charges, including possession of a stolen vehicle and driving while under the influence.
That suspect is a badass.
Yes, she is.
Damn.
You can say that because you didn't see her try to run, by the way.
No.
She runs like a girl.
She was trying to carjack someone?
I didn't think she ran like a girl. The channel I was watching it on was kind of a long shot, and it looked to me like she was out of the starting blocks and was flying.
But the cop caught up with her in like 4 seconds. It was like watching a lion and take over a gazelle. I mean, there was no contest there.
I didn't know what the story was either until I looked at her picture after they arrested her. And I'm guaranteeing it. Meth. I'm guaranteeing it.
You can just
see it in her face. The acne and the stringy hair.
Oh, wow.
It is funny because, you know, 95% of these chases end with the police surrounding the vehicle. They, you know, talk them through getting out backwards, put your hands behind your head, get on the ground. She just took off as fast as she could. She was not done running yet.
And 99% of them are men, too. That was what was really unusual about this one. Well, I got tons of emails from people who wanted to make sure that Kevin was alerted to the fact that there was a U-Haul chase going on.
I was alerted as well. Thank you, everyone.
Might as well say this for the millionth time for TV executives out there. Sure would be nice to have some sort of a channel where they interview her.
Sure would be good to have that on a full-time basis.
Yep, sure would.
But, that was sweet. It's been too long. I realized yesterday it's really been a while. Haven't had a good car chase in quite some time.
We've had some spectacular crashes, but
people need to step up and let's get this thing rolling again.
There was a car that crashed into a house last night. Did you see that one, Lisa?
Mm-mm.
Both guys in the car got killed. Just
oh dear God!
Demolished, ran right into a house.
Where was that?
I don't remember. Somewhere in Southern California.
It was here, huh?
Yeah.
Fontana. What a surprise!
Good times.
All right, it is time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
One, two, one, two, one, two.
Or
What it do, nephew?
Saturday,
February 7th at Angel Stadium. It's the AMA Supercross. Tickets are available now, but you don't care about that because you're about to win some just for being on the air at Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew for a Thursday morning.
Let's start with Sergio in Los Angeles. Good morning, Sergio.
Good morning. What it do, nephew?
What
and
do?
My baby boo.
What it do, Sergio?
This could be the best story that I've ever seen.
Yeah, I was watching, I think it was ESPN, and I guess T.O. just got his own show on VH1.
Terrell Owens, who is a fantastic athlete that plays for the Dallas Cowboys, but is as much trouble as he is talented.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, and we really don't need this right now.
Really? What a surprise. Doesn't it seem like the Dallas Cowboys are courting this kind of TV exposure in every way they possibly can, though? I mean,
sure
Jerry
does.
Jones is one of the judges.
Yeah, it hurts down.
No, I think you're confused, Kevin. Jerry Jones is a judge on a Michael Irvin reality show that was announced recently.
Oh, that's right.
Which is he's a former Cowboy. But
that's
everybody
right.
associated with the Cowboys, soon every fan every week is going to have a reality show just because they want to continue to promote the Cowboys' name because they got to get money coming from somewhere since they aren't playing in any playoff games.
So what does he do?
He raps.
With a business, I'm back on the mission. Got the recipe, bruh, so I'm back in the kitchen. Trying to take me out the game, people saying I'm missing. Got the whole world's uninvited attention. It's a brand new year, got a brand new team. I'm a cowboy now, no more black and green. And to the haters who said I wouldn't get my money, I'm laughing in your face. Ha ha, that's funny when it comes to.
Ha ha, that's funny.
Everything I've seen about this show.
It's great.
Makes it look like it's going to be like a Breaking Bonaducci or one of those shows where he just gives
access,
unadulterated access to him trying to put his life back together.
Fantastic.
To him being violent? Because that's what Breaking Bonaducci was.
I'm excited about
mess.
That.
Okay.
That's
yeah, it could be interesting.
The worst of the Cowboys are now coming up with TV shows. Mm-hmm. The best.
Speaking of sports, let's try Joe in Los Angeles. He's on line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, what about a show where we just watched Tony Romo feed Jessica Simpson his girlfriend chocolate all day? What about that as a TV show?
I'm in. Hey, what's going on, Joe?
So you guys couldn't make it in the 909, but Matt left and now he's all national.
We couldn't make it in the 909. I don't know what that means.
Well, you guys couldn't make it, in the... It doesn't matter.
Okay.
But I haven't heard you guys talk
you
about
You gave up
that.
On your own analogy because even you realized it didn't make any sense. We're doing fine in the 909.
No, let's talk about money. We love money.
We do.
But yeah, he's gone national as of last week.
Yes.
Yes.
Very exciting.
Yes.
You know, we figured something had to be up when he didn't say he was going to go with the Lakers when they go to ESPN radio.
Right.
There had to be something kind of in the cards. So we're very happy for him.
But it's a kick bleeped show, and that's why I don't listen to you guys on the Cinco de Letard.
You got to make your choice.
Cinco de Letard.
That's a pretty good one.
That's French.
Plus, you knew that we didn't make it in the 909, too.
Exactly.
That's true.
All right.
Thank you for the call.
I'm so happy for Money and for Petros because obviously we consider those guys family. They're great. But, there's only going to be about 10 radio shows when this is all over. They're basically just going to pick the good ones. They're going to go national and everybody else is going to be out of work. And I say that to warn you that one day you're going to wake up and there's not going to be a Kevin and Bean show.
Yeah.
Because only the good ones will expand.
Yeah. You're not going to make the cut? Let's go to Alex in Anaheim. Good morning, Alex.
What it do, boo?
Yeah, what did you do, Alex?
I watched that Carl's Jr. commercial or that Carl's Jr. video that you guys posted.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And what was up with Psycho Mike's gay-ass laugh?
Psycho Mike's gay laugh.
And the way he
laugh.
Just, like, he was standing right behind Kevin, and he just, like, opens his mouth like a window licker.
What's wrong with you? Yes, everything you're saying is true. I don't know why. I don't know what it is.
And did you guys see Ralph, the way he just kept, stealing looks at the Carl's Jr. girl, just looking at her boobies?
Well, listen.
That's why he brought her in. Are you kidding?
But let me tell you this.
But
Alex, let me tell you this. She was very, very concerned with her top, which wouldn't stay straight.
Yeah, I saw that.
So
that was awesome.
She kept adjusting it. And so even if you were trying not to look there, she was forcing us.
Yeah. She was.
It was awesome.
Nothing we could do. Yeah, I don't know what that laugh is. You got me.
Psycho Mike, period.
Yep.
Psycho Mike. I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. Psycho Mike.
I agree.
All right, do we want to take either of these other ones, or should we just move on?
Let's move on, because we have a very full show today.
Rob Dyrdek, on the program today?
On which date?
Thursday, the 29th of January.
Vagina.
What was that? How did you find the fastest vagina ever?
I am I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel.
That's here at the bottom.
Here at the end of the month, looking for, because I'm trying to do an all new vagina every morning for the entire month of January. So I'm getting low.
That's not the bottom of the barrel. No, that's my favorite of the whole month.
That's a great one.
I like it. I do like it too. But I manufactured it. I went to a text to speech site yesterday and made my own because I was out.
Vagina.
I thought might enjoy that.
How do you tell them to talk so fast?
There's on this particular one that I went to, and it's so much fun to play around with these, by the way, but there's a setting on this one where you can increase or decrease the speed that the guy reaches. So I just put it up to the maximum, and that's how you ended up with
vagina.
Awesome.
That's the best.
For people who don't have time.
Yeah. People are just too busy for that whole word. EA Sports, we're going to talk to you today. Madden 09, we've been giving away all week. They ran the Super Bowl that is happening on Sunday through Madden 09.
Yeah.
And I guess they run it a certain amount of times or whatever so they can predict who's going to win and by what score.
And it was the Lions. That's what the most remarkable thing was. That's how great this game is the Lions win the Super Bowl.
That didn't even make sense because the last I looked, they weren't in on it. So
I know. That's what's crazy.
We have Maggie Grace today.
Oh.
Really? She's very attractive, but
No, since she was on Lost, Bean has just been crazy.
Really?
And not just me, by the way. We all loved her, remember?
Yeah.
She's
all
one of our favorites
her.
On Lost.
Yes, but you're the only... Oh. also on today's program, we're going to tell you about Michael Jackson being sued. Ralph brought this up yesterday. John Landis is suing him.
Mm-hmm. That's what he needs. More lawsuits.
His Thriller's going to Broadway, and John directed that, and he thinks he needs more money. Biggest bet you lost on sporting events when you're betting on sporting events?
Oh, that's a good one.
As Sunday comes up and I'm about to win $1,200.
How about that? There's a K-Rock listener out there, you know, just to give you an example, who for the rest of his life or until he raises the money to get it removed will walk around with a tattoo of Rodney Bingenheimer in a smoking jacket with a pipe on his leg. That's something that he bet in a sporting event and lost.
And highlights of last night's American Idol.
Last night I got served a little bit too much of that poison, baby. Last night I did things I'm not proud of.
I can't believe they didn't let her through.
Huh.
Yeah.
She's delightful.
She sounds delightful. These people are scaring me.
Vagina.
5:43, we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz Beat next.
Ralph Garman joins us in studio now with a look at the show. Kiz.
What?
Ralph. It's a sad day in America.
It is?
Someone die? What happened?
Worse than someone dying, Kevin.
It can't be sad. President Obama's in the White House now. Everything's supposed to be sunshine and puppies.
An institution has died.
An institution?
Announced yesterday. To the sadness of masturbators everywhere.
Uh-oh.
What?
No.
Lingerie Bowl 6 has been canceled.
No! God! No! God, please, no! No! No!
For years, no! At halftime of the Super Bowl, men with half a beer load on and desire to see girls dressed only in underwear tackle each other have enjoyed the pleasures of the Lingerie Bowl. However, this year, it has been canceled.
Was it an economic decision?
No, they had a hard time finding the place to hold the event.
What?
According to producers, Horizon Productions, they couldn't find a place to have it.
I got a big yard.
So they settled on the Caliente Spa and Resort, which is a clothing optional resort in Tampa, Florida.
Right.
And apparently all the producers' demands were met, and the producers were very happy with the resort, except for one small part, the nudity.
Well, there's too much now?
Yeah. The league will not place our fans, players, staff, nor partners in a less than comfortable environment that would ultimately jeopardize the mainstream perception and reputation of the brand that so many have worked diligently over these past 5 years to build.
I heard some of these girls interviewed,
what?
And they were very insulted that they might have to play there.
Are we still talking
They're
about
like,
the Lingerie Bowl?
The Lingerie Bowl doesn't want to play around naked people.
But the girls wouldn't have to be nude. They could
no,
wear lingerie
Bean,
just like
it's not about
year.
Them being naked. It's about them being not comfortable around
exactly.
naked people. The staff, players, and production crew would not be comfortable working in a resort that allows people to be naked.
This is all backwards.
So the lingerie people are offended by the naked people.
They're snooty. The lingerie yes. people are snooty.
What? You don't have any gauze on your nipples? I look down at you, sir. So, no lingerie ball. They were about to do it, and they realized that they couldn't do it because it just means naked people at the nudist resort where they booked
Isn't
it
that,
to have it.
To use a common phrase, just ass backwards?
Wow, that doesn't make any sense.
So, there you go. No lingerie ball this year.
Wow.
Way to bum us out, man. Now we got to watch Springsteen.
I know. Fruitcake, Springsteen. His freaking guitar, his music.
No one likes that.
Where's the lingerie? And pads and hitting each other and balls.
Balls are on that ABC show. Which one is it? The
Wipeout.
Wipeout.
Yeah,
they're doing
the big balls.
They're doing a halftime show.
I love the big balls.
Yeah, they're doing
it. Couch Potatoes versus Cheerleaders this year.
Yep.
Balls. Balls. As if it's not bad enough, Jessica Simpson's fat. Now Star Magazine says her boyfriend's cheating on her. Well, of course he is. You got fat.
Yeah, who can blame him?
Don't be fat. Tony Romo apparently had a big party at Jessica's house.
Oh, good.
The only problem was Jessica had just flown out of Burbank Airport on January 16th to a gig.
Mm-hmm.
Word is, at the party, Tony Romo hooked up with a beautiful brunette and slept with her in Jessica's bed.
Oh,
sweet.
A beautiful brunette's brother, you mean?
How dare you, sir?
He is Tony Romo. Come on.
I think it's only right. Jessica's been cheating on Tony with Tony Roma for months now, apparently.
That's true.
Eating baby back ribs, so Tony should get some strange too, I think.
What did she say about that particular meal, Ralph?
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. Glad I came up with that. I was confused for a second. Paris Hilton's smart.
Yes, she is.
She is a smartin'.
Yep.
She apparently was in England to promote her new reality TV show of Paris Hilton's British Best Friend.
Oh, dear God.
She does a different version?
I F you not. She does a different version for England.
Oh, my God.
Paris Hilton's British Best Friend, her BFF. See what they did there with the letters?
How many countries is she doing?
I don't know.
She's working her way through them all.
That they can use a B.
Yeah, right. Her Bolivian best friend. Anyway, she said that she wants to find a pal from other countries because she's bored of American women, claiming, and this is her quote, girls in Los Angeles are such sluts.
What?
Said the girl with the sex tape.
This is from her. You remember her with the green light?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Eating the cucumber?
Yep.
Yeah.
She should probably just stay there. That would be okay with me.
During the press, Lisa, this gets so much better.
Okay.
How just can it?
Relax. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy the tale of Paris and London. She said she loves Britain, and London is her favorite city in the world. And then during the press conference, she was asked who the prime minister of the country was.
Mm.
She said, it's Gordon. Now, Gordon Brown is the prime minister of England. Okay, keep that in mind. It's Gordon. Gordon Ramsay?
Yes. The chef?
Of course, it's the chef from Hell's Kitchen.
Yes.
Yeah, so she was half right. So you got to give her, you know, points for trying.
Have you ever been addicted to drugs?
No.
Taking drugs?
No.
Never taken drugs?
Mm-mm.
She was corrected and then asked again about her favorite country, England.
Mm-hmm.
Asked her if she enjoyed Essex, to which she replied, what's that? Which, of course, is a county in England. So maybe not be her favorite.
She's conquering them like she conquered us.
That's right.
You know?
She's sweeping the nation.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
More reality TV show news. NBC has announced a brand new reality show called Who Do You Think You Are?
Who Do You Think You Are?
Yes. It will be a reality show based on the genealogy of celebrities.
How's that a show?
Such celebrities as Lisa Kudrow, Susan Sarandon, and Sarah Jessica Parker will look into their family trees.
Oh, no.
How's that a show?
It's not.
Find out who their ancestors are.
So we see them going through books.
Yeah, hell, my great-great-granduncle had a farm.
That's not a show.
E-I-O. It is not a show.
That's not a show.
It is not.
Huh.
I wonder how they landed Lisa Kudrow. Oh, wait a minute. Lisa Kudrow, executive producer of Who Do You Think You Are, says the show will be, wait for it, groundbreaking. It's not tissue breaking. Not paper bag breaking, let alone groundbreaking.
Wow.
Please enjoy.
That's not going to be good.
Yeah. More banned ads from the Super Bowl. You remember that the Super Bowl turned down somebody's ad.
Ashley Madison?
Ashley Madison, right. Yes. We talked about that previously. Hold on a second.
I'm sorry, I thought that's the one you were referring to. Sorry.
Ashley Madison, the website for cheating married folk.
Right.
They turned them down for being too racy.
Right.
Now we find out they've also turned down an ad from PETA because it was too hot to broadcast.
Hey, it's a good ad, too.
It's not a good ad.
It's a good ad.
It's not a good ad. It's
with the broccoli? Come on.
It's a bunch of chicks in models in underwear making out with vegetables and fruits and stuff. It's very retarded.
It's kind of hot.
It is kind of hot.
It is.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. I don't know why.
A girl licking a pumpkin is hot to you.
Is this?
You need some counseling, first of all.
Maybe.
And second of all, it's way retarded.
I'm just saying.
Ralph, you're being clouded by your hate for PETA. PETA out of it and just watch the girl with the broccoli.
It looks like a comedy. It looks like a sitcom episode. It's retarded. It's not sexy at all. It's funny.
I can see your point, and yet...
The girl jumping in the hot tub with the vegetables floating in it, that's hot to you.
Yeah,
Those girls are so hot, too. Yeah, I know, they're girls, Beam. Some of us have seen other girls, though, so it's not an immediate win over.
That doesn't make these girls any less hot.
The girl puts on some lingerie.
No.
She's jumping into a jacuzzi with tomatoes and celery floating in it. That's just ludicrous.
Ludicrous isn't even in the commercial.
That wasn't my favorite of the vignettes in the commercial, but I still enjoyed the
stuff did you do in that PETA commercial? So anyway, they said it was too hot.
That's
well, I'm always happy to see PETA turn down for something, so I'm fine with that. But
it's on the internet. If you want to catch it on YouTube, you can check it out. But at the end, they say studies have proven vegetarians have better sex. That's the sell of their thing.
Yeah.
To which I respond, that may be true, but omnivores have better meals. And here's the thing. I've humped a lot in my life.
Yeah.
Probably more than most, not as much as some, but I've done a lot of humping.
Right.
I've had more meals than I've had sex. So in the grand scheme, I'd rather have better meals, I think. You put a steak in front of me or a plate of tofu, I'm going for the steak. So I'm glad PETA got turned down by the Super Bowl. Because Super Bowl represents all things meat.
Yeah.
God bless it.
It does, that's true.
It's wings and burgers and chili with ground beef and all good things.
Once again, though, they managed to play the media because they're probably getting at least as much attention out of the commercial being banned as if they had paid for it and got it on the show.
I agree. That's why they should blow up their headquarters. That would get a lot of press.
And by that, you mean...
PETA should blow up their own headquarters. That would get a lot of press on the news, is what I'm saying.
That would be PETA-like, I'll tell you that.
No, they never turn on themselves. They don't eat their own. They're like brine shrimp. I don't even know what that means.
Because they're vegetarians. They can't eat their own.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Tom Selleck is 64 years old today. Magnum P.I. is 60 freaking 4 years old. Oh, Magnum.
Does he still have the stash of heroism?
Oh, sure. Right. The stash of heroism, yeah. He was giving that at a big ceremony last week, I think. Tommy Ramone of the Ramones. Is he the last remaining Ramone? I think he might be the last surviving Ramone, isn't he?
Really? Are three of your dead?
Yeah,
I know he is still alive, though. Yeah. Wow.
He's 57 years old today. Ed Burns, actor and director, is 41. Nicholas Turturro, actor from NYPD Blue, is 47. Heather Graham. Oh, Heather Graham.
Vagina.
She is 39 years old. No bell for Heather Graham?
Yeah. Yes. I'm sorry. I was working the vagina ones and twos. Sorry.
Very well. Pay attention to your responsibilities. A little less improvising, a little more sticking with the script.
Okay.
Sarah Gilbert from ER and Roseanne is 34. And talk show host Oprah Winfrey.
Oh!
No!
Oprah Winfrey celebrates her 55th birthday today. Double nickels for Oprah.
I'm so fat.
She's going to celebrate by eating 55 countries.
Wow.
That's a lot of eating.
Okay, fat wins.
Yes, it does. Every time. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Talk Michael Jackson. We were talking yesterday about the fact that Thriller is going to Broadway. They sold, I think, Thriller and Off the Wall to a Broadway.
What do you
think? Yeah, I think it'll do great.
Yeah?
I do. I mean, people love that music, and rightly so. And Broadway brings, you know, middle America. That's who goes.
Yeah.
When they're visiting New York, I think it'll do really well.
Well, it's based a lot on the Thriller video, which John Landis was the director of.
Mm-hmm.
And John Landis is now suing Michael Jackson because he wants to, you know, split the profits. And apparently he hasn't been paid in like 4 years or something on that.
Oh, wow.
So we thought we'd talk to Michael Jackson. How about the music one more time? Here we go.
Okay.
There we go. All right. Hey, Mike.
Hey!
Wow.
Damn out!
You sound pumped up today.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
We are good. Yeah. More legal trouble does not sound good for you, though.
Well, it's only because I know that I'm going to win this case, so it doesn't matter.
You're going to win this case.
I know for a fact that I'm in the right. So I feel very justified today.
Let me ask you about that, Michael, because it sounds like you had an arrangement, a legal contract with John Landis where he would get a certain percentage of whatever you ended up doing with the Thriller dances and that sort of thing, and it doesn't sound like you're paying him for any of that anymore.
Well, the problem is that he's confused. I'm having a Broadway musical, but it has nothing to do with Thriller.
Oh. Well, the reports are all that it's going to be based on the Thriller... Right, the Thriller music video.
The reports are all wrong.
They are.
Really?
You got thrilled. The reports are wrong. What do those reports say again?
They say that...
The reports are wrong. Don't read what you read in the press. They're all liars. They tell lies.
But what else do you have that people would be interested in enough to make a Broadway show if it's not the biggest album of all time?
I'm putting up about a dozen Broadway shows.
What are you talking about?
All original Broadway shows based on original music I'm working on.
That's not possible.
It
and it sounds
possible.
Awful. If it's original new music that you're working on, nobody wants to see or hear it.
Next season, you can look forward to the opening of Mike LaHoma.
Mike LaHoma.
Yes. My Oklahoma, I live on a wacky little ranch, and I got a chimp, and he's an imp.
Did you already sell that, or you're just planning to sell it?
I'm writing it as we speak.
Writing it, okay.
Yes.
All right.
Also, I'm working on Avenue Mike, which will be all puppets.
Like Avenue Q, you mean?
No, it's original.
Oh, okay.
It's puppets that look like me, and, well, actually, I'll be the puppeteer. And the puppets will be little boys.
Oh!
And I get to put I'll put my hand up inside the little boy puppet.
Nope.
Like a puppeteer
talk,
does.
Like a puppeteer would do.
Nope.
Exactly.
Right.
Avenue Mike.
But it doesn't have anything to do with Avenue Q because it just sounds like that name.
I don't even know what that means. I don't even know what the name of what you're saying.
That's a Broadway play with.
I've never heard of it.
Okay.
Also on the Great White Way next season, Mike Spray.
Mike Spray.
Oh, yeah. Like
hairspray?
No, I've never heard of that thing you just said.
Hairspray?
It was a huge movie. It's a popular play. A movie. What's Mike Spray about?
I will play a dancer in 1960s on the television, and I get really excited during one performance, and then they have to clone the camera.
That's where the Mike Spray comes in.
That is not something I want to see.
Also, the Jackson King. The Jackson King, where I play... No, it's original.
Are you talking about the Lion King?
No, it's original. No one has seen anything like it.
I just get thrilled?
Thrilled. West Mike Story.
West Side Story?
Okay, I play a Puerto Rican who's in love with another Puerto Rican, so there's not a lot of drama there.
This doesn't make any sense at all.
Jackson of the Opera, where I live in an opera house and I drop a chandelier on someone.
That's
Phantom.
It's all original.
That's Phantom.
Original.
You can't just steal everybody else's idea. Okay.
Michael in the Amazing Technicolor Underwear.
Dream Coat. It's supposed to be a dream coat.
After one of my sleepovers.
No.
Jesus Juice Superstar.
That one I would see.
Does sound good.
And my cargo.
My
cargo.
All right.
No. But it doesn't have anything to do with Chicago?
I don't know what you're talking about. These are all original musicals that I have that have no basis on Thriller, so Mike Landis doesn't get any. John
Landis is his name.
Get any of my money. So they're all original, and all the money goes to me.
Okay, so you're not doing Thriller?
No.
Okay.
But Mike Spray, that's going to be a show.
It's going to be good.
Sounds good.
Is Maggie Grace here yet? Are we talking to Maggie Grace? Do we have Maggie Grace on the phone? Where's Maggie Grace?
We got about 10 minutes. Take it easy, Dave.
I may not be alive in 10 minutes.
But
I need to talk to her now, just in case.
So please don't drive her away like you do everyone else. Please.
I'm not like that. Come on. I've always been very respectful of Miss Grace when we've had her on.
All right.
I've never brought up chloroform or anything, so it's going to be fine.
Oh, dear God.
You can email any of us. All of our email addresses are at Carrick.com. And by the way, it never ceases to amaze amaze me, and this happens fairly often, I'll get an email and it'll say, I didn't know Psycho Mike's address, so could you tell him? You know, it's, yeah. First of all, it's psychomike@krock.com, just like it's lisa@krock.com or Kevin or Bean or Lightning or, you know, I mean, you can pretty much write to any of us, but if you ever need an address, you can find it and you can write about any topic, and from time to time we read them on the air. Also on the website, by the way, is the video of Tamara Brown, the Carl's Jr. commercial girl who came into the studio a few days ago.
Yes.
Which is great video. I was very upset with Lightning for doing everything he could to keep Lisa May out of the shot while Tamara was in. And that's what Jesus from Santa Cruz is writing in about. You know, for as much crap as Lightning was giving Lisa for trying to keep her out of the Tamara Brown shoot, why couldn't he have had himself out of the background? I am outraged. You can see Lightning in the video. I'd much rather see Lisa than Lightning. But if you look close enough, and believe me, I have, boys, I do notice you get to see a little bit of the back of Lisa's head. And let's face it, that's probably how we'd like to see her anyway. I'm just saying.
Wow.
From Santa Cruz.
Nice.
Henry writes, Dear Kevin and Bean, I was curious to know if you have any info at this point on when the lineup will be released for Coachella 09.
Oh, there's a question we haven't heard.
Trust us when we say we wish we did. We do not have that information yet. We're checking every day. It's going to be very soon.
When we do, we'll tell
as
you.
As soon as we find out, we'll tell you. I can tell you for sure that Destination Tonsils will be playing, though. They're going to be playing.
They're one of your favorites.
One of the tents, along with Leopard Skin Camel Toe.
Sweet.
And Ku Klux Klan, I think, will be on the main stage. So that's all we know so far.
I can tell you that I know for a fact that certain people were working late into the night last night and perhaps even early this morning to try to get this information finalized so that we can bring it to you on the air. So it could be at any time. I promise we're not just jerking you around. We don't have it and are not sharing it, but we will as soon as we do.
Hideous right? Blow Pig also has been rumored.
Dear Kevin and Bean, I know from time to time you guys talk about bad names for kids. Well, I work in an emergency room at a local hospital. This is an email from Scott. Here's a few of the kids that I have seen over the last couple of years. I promise you these all are real names. Number one, Pepsi. Came into his emergency room.
Okay.
Number two, Precious.
Oh,
three, excellent. Treasure. Four, Liquor. Spelled L-Y-Q-O-R.
Oh, come on.
L-Y-Q-O-R. And for maybe Dave at King of Mexico is listening, that's not correct. That's not how you spell the word liquor that we all know.
Wow.
But that's why it's funny. Queen. A pair of twins that were named, now get this, Donna and not Donna.
Come on! No one's named.
Now that I support.
That's the best one ever.
How'd you like to be not Donna?
Wow.
You gotta have a little bit of an inferiority complex. You're born 17 seconds later, and all of a sudden you're stuck with not Donna for the rest of your life?
You're just not the good one.
Thank you, Scott, for sending those in. Very good.
Another K-Rock listener, Scott, sent in a suggestion for a TV show. I don't know if you guys have caught the show yet on VH1, but it's the best show on TV. It's called Tool Academy.
Oh, yeah, I have seen some of that.
Some, yeah.
The girlfriends of loser boyfriends set him up on a show, and they think that this is a contest for, quote, Mr. Awesome. They soon find out the show is called Tool Academy. All these guys think they're God's gift to women, and you have to see it. It's on Sunday nights at 10 on VH1. That's a pretty good show,
good
by
tip.
The way.
Yeah.
And by the way, the girlfriends knew their men well enough to recognize that they were perfect contestants for a show called Tool Academy because none of them failed to be tools on that program.
They're all Psycho Mike-esque. So you
absolutely.
Can see exactly what you're getting.
Girlfriend.
I don't know.
That's the amazing part. They know their tools, and still they stay with them.
Yep.
How does Psycho Mike have a wife? And why is Psycho Mike not on Tool Academy?
Yeah, that's all these questions we have.
Here's one of the shortest emails that we've ever received. Subject line, to answer your question, do Kevin and Bean need to Twitter? Then you scroll down, and the entirety of his response is, nope.com. I guess now we know. Our program is not Twitter-worthy.
Aretha Franklin also will be playing. Dear Kevin and Bean, I was recently flying back to Los Angeles from Sundance. During the boarding process, I saw a portly, bearded Mexican dude taking a seat near me in the front of the plane. And I thought to myself, hey, that kind of looks like the King of Mexico. He doesn't look like that big of a homo. Well, about 3 minutes into the takeoff, I see a fingerless, gloved hand reach up and fiddle with the air conditioning.
Yeah.
My prior thought went right out the window. If this indeed was the King of Mexico, please murder him. Emo nonsense like wearing fingerless gloves on an airplane is the type of ridiculous behavior that will bring America to its knees. Please, Kevin, for the love of God, stop the King of Mexico. P.S., Andy writes, if it wasn't the King of Mexico, still murder him, as his ludicrous behavior is now obviously influencing the youth of the nation.
Look, Dave can't help it that he's emu, okay? All right, there has been a great deal of controversy. We've discussed it during the Showbiz Beat in recent weeks about the new Britney Spears single. Apparently, I am not allowed to tell you the title of the song, but it has to do with Seeking Amy, right? And it's a very stupid song. But here's the email that we received from Nelson. Dear Kevin and Bean, I've been listening to the whole controversy during Ralph Showbiz Report about the latest Britney single. I'm, for one, am glad that that disgusting song is being banned from even mentioning its name on your station. Who does Britney think she is putting such filth like that out? She thinks she's so clever by disguising those insulting words behind an otherwise innocent-sounding phrase. To think that she's a role model to some kids and teens out there, she comes out with a song like that? I want you to know that I seriously am deeply offended, and I fear for the future of our nation. Nelson, P.S., can you please play Rape Me by Nirvana? I love that song.
We'll get right to that.
I'm just saying, Kevin, that life hasn't really been worth living. I don't know why we've been coming and doing the show, because for like a year and a half, we haven't had Maggie Grace on the program. You know what I mean? What's the point of doing those shows when she's not on the show?
Well, she's on the show today, Maggie. Good morning.
That's an improvement.
Thank you, everyone.
Hi. Hi, Maggie. How are you, my dear?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Great. It's been a long time since we talked to you, and now we get you on right as we find out you've been kidnapped. So it's rough for you.
Yeah, it's a rough life.
I got to tell you,
be talking to you guys, home turf. I listen to y'all.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thank you very much. I got to tell you, I will watch any movie that Liam Neeson is in.
Yeah, he's great.
He's always, always, always great. And of course, I'll watch it in urine. So obviously,
this is a twofer.
This is a good one.
So we got a lot of questions for you about this movie. It's called Taken, of course. It opens up everywhere tomorrow, and you've been seeing the commercials, and it looks very exciting and very pulse-pounding. But tell me about you as an actress. I know you go up for roles and stuff, and then what's it like when you realize, hey, I'm in a movie with freaking Liam Neeson? Does that kind of blow your mind a little bit?
It did. It blew my mind. I mean, actually, 3 weeks before I got this script, I kind of make these New Year's lists of people I want to work with someday.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd just seen, like, Michael Collins again, and I was like, oh, man, Liam Neeson, he's incredible. Like, I would really love to work with him someday. And 3 weeks later, I got this offer, and I was like, oh.
You know what that is? That's you using The Secret.
Okay,
The Secret.
Really be writing and launching my own version of The Secret.
Yeah.
Like, so have a little, like, notebook that comes with it, like, with a little sparkly pen.
Exactly.
Sure. So you meet a guy like that that you obviously have admired as an actor, and then you're hoping that he's nice. What did it turn out being like to work with him so much?
Oh, it was wonderful. I mean, I calmed down a little bit because a friend of mine had done a Western with him recently, and he's like, oh, he's amazing. Like, he's very protective and still kind of, like, checks up on me. And he, you know, he's been the same way with me, like, just even giving me advice on scripts and, you know, making calls to directors without me asking. I mean, it was just giving and protective and just gracious as can be. And, I mean, the crew loves him, and he's just kind of this really calm, amazing presence. Like, I think his characters usually have that kind of, you know, moral compass kind
right.
of feel a lot.
Well, in this one, he plays your dad, and you get kidnapped. I have, we like to play our movie clips on the radio, and I have a clip of you calling him from Paris, and you're just now realizing that you are being kidnapped.
Oh, my God, they got Amanda! Dad! They took her!
All right, listen to me.
Oh, God.
Did you meet anyone on the plane?
Yes, Peter.
Peter? Peter who?
I don't know.
An American?
No.
Did he know where you were staying?
He took a cab with us.
How many people are there? Be precise.
Three, four, I don't know.
Where are you?
I'm in the bathroom.
Go to the next bedroom. Get under the bed.
Tell me when you're there.
Now, the next part is very important. They're going to take you.
Oh, what a downer, Dad.
That's so creepy.
Hey, why didn't you figure out a way for them not to take me?
I know. That clip is definitely tough. My friend was like, whoa, what's with that? It's like he basically tells you you're screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just give yourself up.
But isn't what's so cool about it, though, is that he stays so cool. He has the presence of mind. I mean, let's face it. Most fathers would just have nothing to do except scream.
Bye.
Yeah, he is an ex-spy. He's an
ex-spy, right.
Looks like he's a CIA guy, and, and he's that way. He's got, you know, ice in his
veins.
He's got
mad skills.
Yeah.
So you're taken, and then I guess the bulk of the movie is him trying to track down the people, and he gets on the phone and tells them that he has skills that he will use to track them down, and then that's what the movie's about, is him trying to find you, right?
Yes.
And then they say good luck, and that does not make him happy. I don't think. Hey, Maggie.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I was just going to change the subject for 1 second back to Lost and see if your character, as everyone seems to be we're jumping around in time so much that other people are coming back to life. Is your character going to come back on Lost?
Who knows?
That's a yes.
That is a yes.
That's a yes.
Daisy.
That's fantastic news that you just now confirmed.
No. All right. I'm not confirming anything. I have no idea.
So yes.
I have no idea, she lied.
There's no working with you guys. Plus, you know, it's radio, so you can't tell if I'm lying.
Oh, we can tell.
No.
The movie looks great. Again, it's called Taken. It opens up everywhere tomorrow. I just have to ask you real quick, because you're in a role like this where you're the damsel in distress, you're a woman in peril, do you do a lot of, like, screaming and crying, and is that tough for you to wake up and make that be your job every day?
I think it's definitely just available. I don't usually take it home too much, but I'm actually going to be kicking more butt in some upcoming roles. So
cool.
Won't always be the ingenue.
So it's going to be UFC the movie, starring Maggie Grace. I like it.
Well, I appreciate the kind words when we got you on the phone, Maggie. We know you do listen from time to time when you're here, and you're always welcome on the Kevin and Bean Show. And everybody go see Taken. It opens up with Maggie Grace and Liam Neeson tomorrow. And thanks for joining us. Good to catch up with you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Maggie.
Hey!
No? Just the claps.
Just the claps in there?
Yeah. All right. I don't think they hate.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Kevin, who's coming in after the news at 7 o'clock?
You guys, are you never going to end?
No.
Is this never
going to
end?
Are you never going to end? Yes, eventually we all end, Kevin. It's a sad fact of the human race. We all end someday.
Name the person, the television personality, who's joining us in 10 minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Rob. Time for the Ralph Showbiz.
Yes. And Rob's last name is?
Geerdick.
In Hood.
Wow.
Rob in Hood.
Well done.
You guys see Lost last night? Oh, big show.
I fell asleep during Lost.
What?
And that's not good.
Omar came in and said, I didn't understand anything.
Because I'm very confused now.
The show was dense before, but now that they're flipping through the pages of time.
Yeah.
They were in the 50s last night, and then they were in present day, and they were 3 years ago, and 3 years forward. It was magical. You know what we might have to have in? There's a band called Previously on Lost.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I heard about that.
Previously on Lost. And every week, they distill the entire episode down into a song.
I like it.
They call themselves Recap Rock. And I was just listening to their recap from not last night's, but the previous
weeks. Is it helpful?
It is, no, it's not helpful at all. But it's entertaining if you have seen the episode and you know what's going on.
All right.
Here's a little snippet of one of their songs. This is them recapping the scene. Remember when Sawyer was pounding on the door of the hatch trying to get Desmond's attention when they went back in time?
Yeah, the dude was saying, you can't get his attention, you can't do this.
Right, and then Holiday, what's his name?
Faraday, I think.
He talks to Desmond, remember? And tells him to go look for his mom in Oxford University?
That's right. Yep.
Here's them recapping that in song. Pounds upon the hatch's door, but Daniel begs to pound no more. You cannot change what was before. A tap upon his face from the bear chest, it keeps him calm. And just in time, he tells the special one to go seek out his mom. So they give you the entire episode in song.
Is there anyone else that does that?
I don't know.
Okay.
Kevin Nolikey.
They have to write it like it's for the Ren Fair?
That's the problem. Well, that's just the chip on the song. It goes all varying styles depending on kind of plot line they're talking about. It's an opera, really, more than anything else. Very entertaining work. So you want to check them out. You can check out their MySpace page. Previously on Lost on MySpace is where they have all their songs.
That's a great idea.
Download and stuff. It's very clever. Speaking of TV shows, and we were talking about Lost because, of course, you had Maggie Grace on most recently. And speaking of guests to have on the Kevin and Bean Show, got some very exciting news in the other room.
Yes.
I just wanted to bring up just for Mike. Because Mike and I share a deep, passionate love for this woman.
Okay.
You know, one of my favorite TV shows.
Wait, let me get out of the way.
Yeah, you should. put on your rain slicker.
I get splattered here.
You know, one of our favorite shows, mine and Lisa, I know you guys don't watch this, but we watch the show Life over there on NBC.
Oh, are we really?
Next week, two little words for you. Sarah Shaheen.
In studio?
We're working on it. It looks good.
It's such a good show.
Mike. She's amazing on it.
So. She's beautiful.
Very exciting things going on.
Wow, good.
Oh, my God.
Can Mike be off that day?
Yes.
I think he has to be, doesn't
Just
he?
Saying.
I know we should give off, by the way. People have given some time off. Let's give Clea a little more time off.
Yeah.
She's still
patient
hacking.
Zero. Still sick. Patient zero coming in with a 400-degree fever. Snot coming out of her profusely, coughing up, hacking up a lung, walking around saying, I'm fine, I'm not.
She's got the black death.
She jumped into those nuts in the corner there, too.
Oh, no.
Oh my God. Hey, watch it.
She has germs on your nuts.
Yeah,
yes, she does.
Your nuts are bacteria laden.
Her job is to be hot, and if she's not going to be hot, she should go home.
I don't think that's technically her job, but,
well, it is.
I don't want to get sick. I know that.
Yeah, she's spreading her death around. So.
Send her home.
Tiny Dancer could stay, right?
Oh, yeah.
So send her home. Send Sarah home.
When we have Tiny Dancer, we don't need Sarah. You know what I'm saying?
Kill her. Why don't we just kill her?
Come on.
I'm just saying she can pick up the slack because Tiny Dancer is such a good intern.
Oh, is that what you're saying? Okay.
She can pick up Miss Cleo's work.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
All right. Pamela Anderson has a new boyfriend. Oh. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. She makes the rounds.
Pam Anderson?
That's right, Leslie Nielsen. It is Pam Anderson. Naturally, she met him at the trailer park. See, she's living in a trailer park because her home is undergoing some renovations. So she has parked a trailer in a trailer park, and she apparently is dating the guy who lives next door to her in the trailer park.
Oh, my God.
It's all good. That's perfect. His name is Jamie Padgett.
Yeah.
And she said she loves the fact that he is a nice, normal guy.
Pam Anderson?
Meaning he lives in a trailer park.
Right.
And they met when he offered her a ride to the beach in his golf cart that he drives around the trailer park.
That story's got everything.
How perfect is for Pam Anderson to be dating a guy from a trailer park?
Pam Anderson?
It's just magic.
It rules.
We may be playing right into Jessica Simpson's hands.
She wants us to think she's fat?
Well, maybe not that part.
Oh.
But MSNBC says that Jessica is loving the attention she's getting from all the press regarding her fat. Because at least she's getting attention from the press.
She thinks it's a positive?
Well, she thinks the attention is a positive.
Because she'd be ignored otherwise.
She was being ignored otherwise. Her career was in the dumper. Oh, no one was talking about her. Now she's on the page, front cover of almost every tabloid magazine this week.
Fatty, 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 fatty.
And the rumor has it that creepy daddy slash manager Joe Simpson is angling to make a profit by selling her story and then some weight loss. Either book, video, or program.
Yeah.
Sure.
Where she will tell you how she got back into amazing shape, and this will boost her profile and also make her some ka-ching.
This is a quote from her father.
Here's some chocolate, Fatso.
I don't think that was...
You know, that is diabolical, and I wouldn't put it past him at all.
I wouldn't either.
Especially with that crazy outfit, when you put it in those terms, it's almost like she did everything she could to look as fat as possible.
Yes, it's
because
almost
now
staged.
She can easily lose it.
Exactly.
Because she's not as fat as we think she is, so she'll look amazing when she shows up in a bikini in 3 months.
Well, she is fat, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
She could dress better for that body type where we wouldn't have noticed as much.
Interesting.
So maybe she was planning on going into a crash diet situation anyway, and Papa Joe says, let's just play this up. And then we can cash in on it afterwards.
She looks like she's gained weight.
So, we may be playing right into their evil, evil hands.
Yeah, I hate that.
And I got bad news for Bean.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Looks like the Fantastic Four movie franchise is done.
Because
I know Bean loves the Fantastic Four.
I do.
His favorite comic book heroes.
I thought those were successful.
They were pretty successful, but Chris Evans, who stars in the upcoming Push...
Yeah, mm-hmm.
He played the Human Torch in the Fantastic Four series,
right.
The brother of Jessica Alba's character. And he says the producers will not make another live-action film based on the comic book.
Huh.
He said he had a fun time filming both movies, but apparently they have abandoned the franchise. So no more Fantastic Four.
More Rebecca Romijn in blue makeup?
Blue paint, yeah.
Those were the X-File movies.
No.
I mean, the X-Men movies.
X-Men.
Oh, okay, yes. Good.
Fantastic Four is the ones with the guy who becomes a flame.
Right. Yeah.
You got Michael Chiklis in big rock suit.
Sure.
You know,
I got you now. I'm on track now. Yeah.
Bean's
too many
favorite
character
book, by the way. Yeah. Has no idea what I'm talking
That's
about.
That's back in the...
What kind of stuff did Rebecca Romijn do in the Fantastic Four?
That's back in the heady days when Jessica Alba was quiet.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah, she was the invisible girl. Right.
That's not what you want, by the way. You don't want her invisible and talking.
I'm not a Laurence Olivier or anything, but I would say that Jessica Alba's performance in those movies is about as bad as I've ever seen.
She is a little hard to buy as a scientific genius in the Fantastic Four superhero movies. Yeah. We are scientists, and we are working on a cure for what we have. So please give us some respect.
Yeah, some of her speeches in those movies were a little hard to
swallow. It's a little Dr. Christmas Jones for us,
A little bit.
Yeah, Eric.
Speaking of acting, today's celebrity birthday, Sarah Gilbert from ER and Roseanne is 34 years old today. Heather Graham, who is so good in Bowfinger. You ever seen the movie with Steve Martin, Eddie Murphy?
Yes.
So entertaining in that.
It's a funny movie.
And I would think of her as Roller Girl, too, from Boogie Nights. Remember
sure,
the bikini
right.
and the roller skates? Good stuff.
Vagina.
Director, actor Ed Burns is 41 years old today. Nicholas Turturro, actor and brother of John Turturro, is 47. Tommy Ramone of the Ramones.
All right.
He's 57 years old today. Tom Selleck, Magnum P.I., turned 64. And Oprah Winfrey.
Oh. Come on.
Celebrates her 55th birthday today.
Here's some chocolate, Fatso.
How funny. She's 55, and that's exactly how many pounds she is overweight. Isn't that funny? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, Rob Dyrdek. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you, my friend?
Thank you so much.
Rob is looking rough today.
Rob, tell us about your night last night, if you don't mind.
Man, I actually went to a new club called My House.
Okay.
I actually invested in a restaurant that's opening called East on Hollywood Boulevard, and they also do that club, so I thought I'd go check it out. Mm-hmm. Irresponsibly, of course.
And by check it out, you mean you got out of there at what time this morning?
Half hour ago?
I haven't gone home yet.
Yes!
That's my man. I'm just kidding. I'm semi-responsible. I got out of there at a deep. I didn't shut it down, but close.
Right, close. Right. Right. Hey, that's scary, by the way. You work so hard, you make a little bit of money, then you got to figure out what to do with it. Investing in restaurants, how do you have the guts for that? Because that's a business that, I don't mean to bum you out here, but you know this, almost always fails.
Absolutely. I mean, it's nothing more than being able to say, I own a restaurant. You know what I'm saying? Like being able to go in and be like, oh yeah, here he is, like take your seat, you know. It's like,
well,
I own a hotel, like a horrible, I own a hotel, I never even saw the thing for 4 years till it went out of business. Never stepped foot in it.
You are not a good investor. Or maybe you're a great investor. I don't know.
I'm not even kidding. Those are party investments. It's like I'm in the club, like talking to a dude, like it'd be so, like I just somehow like get it, like sucked into the idea that y'all be sick to own a hotel. Let's throw some money at that. Bad idea.
I think this is how a lot of guys sit around and go, dude, we totally have to own a bar or whatever it is. There's something that they think would be so awesome to own just because it sounds like it would be awesome to own. And then they have no idea how much work it is and how tough it is to make money at.
But it's even worse on my case because it's like most of the things I have in my life, I worked really hard to get, and when you just give somebody money for a restaurant on a small piece or something like that and hope that they're hardworking and driven and going to make it a success,
right.
You're just
yeah.
It's not that.
I'll start a restaurant if you're going to invest. I mean, you have extra money to throw around.
I'll throw 100 at anything.
What's funny, Rob, is that your new MTV show this Sunday night at 9 is called Rob Dyrdek's Fantasy Factory. Eventually, you're going to have to go to the Fantasy Factory and see if they can get you out of bankruptcy.
Well, you want
to
know
go.
What?
My fantasy is to be solvent. They're going to have to help you.
Trust me. The Fantasy Factory itself is dragging me to the edge.
Now, the Fantasy Factory you were telling us about before, this is your kind of office space?
Right, so basically it's, you know, for most of my deals, obviously I have, you know, the big companies that handle the distribution and manufacturing for all the deals I'm involved with, but at my core I have, you know, my lawyer and managers and artists and assistants that work, and they work in what I call corpo, which is just the regular offices, and then my office is the 20,000 square foot warehouse.
You know? And that's the Fantasy Factory. Now
that is the Fantasy Factory.
Bean said this Sunday night. Is it a week from Sunday night?
Yeah, February 8th.
Oh, okay. Sorry, week from Sunday. Okay. Oh, that's good, because that way you're not competing with the Super Bowl crap.
But then I'm competing with the Grammys.
Yeah, so.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, so you're competing with something every night. I mean, come on.
That's true.
And it's a new block of programming on Sunday nights on MTV that includes Travis Pastrana.
Yeah, I mean, Travis's show is just absolutely incredible. And I don't want to let a cat out of a bag, but it just was shocking to me when he backflipped the mega ramp on a big wheel. He knocked himself out and went blind for like 30 seconds and was like,
God.
Oh my God, I can't see. Oh my God. And then decided, like, okay, let's get up and let's try this again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, he's out of his mind, I think.
I mean, I feel so sorry for him and everyone that makes that show, because they are brutalizing their bodies. Someone's going to die on that show. That's not like Jackass. You always kind of thought someone might die.
Right.
Someone will die on this show because they have no choice but to keep pushing and pushing.
The danger is ratcheted way up versus, you know, Jackass most of the time is just personal, you know, torture. Yeah. But for the most, but yeah. these guys, man, jump on that stuff. And you can see some of the promos are already on MTV. You see that giant wheel thing. They try to backflip it. Not a good idea.
Wow.
No. Yeah. But Rob, I would imagine, I mean, you guys are cut from sort of the same cloth growing up in the, you know, the kind of sports that you love. I mean, there have to have been times where you've done just stupid stuff on a skateboard that you could have really, really gotten hurt, right?
I mean, I've done stupid stuff on this show. I mean, I got attacked by a shark like last week, you know, and I jumped a car 105 feet and like, don't get me wrong. I live off the same sort of thrill, only not quite as hardcore, you know.
This Fantasy Factory, tell us about the place. You got the zip lines and the. It looks like a McDonald's playland for grownups.
That's what it is, you know. And as the show sort of developed, you know, and what I wanted to do, like, you know, they really wanted to follow like my business side, and like, oh, your business, you know. Of course, everybody knows that's boring, and it just sort of evolved into this just ridiculous thing, you know. And I mean, I had a friend that told me about flight lines, these crazy zip lines in Las Vegas through these canyons, and which, you know, led me to go out there to check those out, to bring one and put one in the warehouse, to having foam pits, to like the first concrete indoor plaza, to like, yeah, you want to know what I bought? It was like one of the American Gladiator's actual tennis ball guns.
Oh,
you know,
I love those.
Everyone wants one of those.
I didn't like that show, but I want one of those guns.
Oh, man, there's nothing like the thrill of shooting a man with a 125-mile-an-hour tennis ball, and there is nothing like the pain of taking one in the neck.
Oh, can you sit up in your office with the tennis ball gun and just pick people off from where you are?
You want to know? I can't, and we're investigating like an electronic turret, you know what I mean? Where I can just, I can just sit there and somebody comes in and just, wow.
Oh, that's the best.
But, this all started, you got the space, and it all started by building a skate ramp inside? Is that how it all got started, or no?
No, basically, I built the world's first indoor concrete urban plaza, you know. So
that was the first thing you did.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, for me, I had this huge movement where I'm building them all over Los Angeles, and I built the first one. It's just really, you know, I built one for the Maloof Cup, and it's just sort of like the... It's a huge thing for me, so...
I remember you saying when we were talking about the Maloof Cup that it was such a bummer that it had to go away because it was such a cool item.
Yeah, you want to know what? Like, I learned such a huge lesson from that where I was like, this is tragic. Like, at first I thought it was kind of cool, like, oh, we built this thing, but it's tragic because we need places like that so bad. The idea of destroying it, you know, sucked, but... I just built one inside, which with the same guy who built the Maloof Cup, who ended up building everything, including like building my world record skateboard. I built a 36-foot-long perfect skateboard that with bushings and that carves and everything, like the most ridiculous thing. That's really dangerous. And running down a hill, it's just like basically standing on like a car in neutral.
Yeah,
like,
you're gonna die.
Yeah, it's sketchy.
Wow, that seems bad.
What kind of insurance do they make you have when you do stuff like this for MTV? I mean, I know they put a ton of disclaimers up there on the screen, so we don't try it at home. But what's the backup for you?
That's a very interesting question because it's very expensive for me to hold that policy for the television show. Not many people are worried about how much my insurance costs me.
Yeah, but it's a lot. I imagine
it's pretty heavy. Man.
I mean, do you have to meet with insurers and go, okay, look. Here's the deal. Let me show it to you because there's nothing else like it. It's not like that you can go, it's like such and such because...
They allow me to keep it pretty vague, you know. I just feel like even the idea... Skateboarding, period, makes them sketched out, you
right,
know. So they really can't wrap their head around a flight line or having a secret garage for your... you know, little three-wheeled motorcycle that you're spinning on inside the warehouse and running around the walls. I mean,
they don't have to know everything, in other words.
Yes. Yeah, so
is there anything specific? Like, I know a lot of athletes, you know, in the off-season or whatever, in their off-time, they're not allowed to do certain things. Is there anything like that that you have in the policy that you can't do specifically?
Of course not. You know what I'm saying?
Really? Okay.
Wild
so if
style.
You wanted to skydive without a parachute, like your friend Travis, you could do it.
Absolutely.
If you wanted to. But that doesn't seem smart. That guy is out of his mind.
That's what I'm saying. It's just, I just can't quite, I mean, I can wrap my head around it, but it's just the idea of, hey, let's dive out and just hope I get cinched up to get out of here. You know, I don't just...
Those of you didn't hear that story, he jumped out of a plane without a parachute, and then another guy with a parachute jumped out after him and then caught up with him and, you know, hooked up with him. But he couldn't do it over the United States because they wouldn't allow it, so he had to go down to, I don't know, where did he go, Chile or something? Yeah. I don't know where he went. Someplace in South America because they didn't care if he killed himself.
Yeah.
And then he did it. I mean, that's just, that's crazy.
Well, if it didn't work, he's just going to be a stain anyway, so, I mean, I guess we just didn't want that on U.S. soil.
That's just a fact. I mean, like, for some reason, I got sucked in the idea of getting attacked by a shark, thinking it'd be really funny, you know, just wearing a chainmail suit and letting sharks come in and attack, but they wouldn't let us do it anywhere in the United States either. We had to go to the Bahamas.
We need more discussion on that one, because that seems as dumb as jumping out of a plane, just for the record.
we do have to take a break. We do need to hear about that. We also need to hear about you and Danny Way breaking the world land speed record. I know you got Lamar Odom on the show coming up. It sounds like it's going to be so much fun. Rob Dyrdek's Fantasy Factory is a week from this Sunday night at 9 o'clock on MTV, and we'll continue this conversation right after this in the World Famous K-Rock.
All right. When we last were talking to Rob, we were talking about his new MTV show that starts a week from Sunday night called Fantasy Factory. And you were talking about getting attacked by a shark and on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate that Jeff Tremaine produces my show with me.
That's not helpful.
The moment I said it, next thing you know, like I trip over and fall and I'm underwater with a big piece of tuna on my arm with 40 sharks around me, you know.
Now, where did you do this? Where did you shoot this?
This was
Bahamas?
In the Bahamas, yeah. It's like Stewart Cove. Thank you, everyone, for getting
me. Are you in a cage?
No cage. You wear the metal mesh suit. So it's like basically they can get a hold of you. They just can't.
They can't pierce it.
They can't pierce it. So the whole thing that they're just like, look, we'll let you do this, but you have to make sure you don't let go of the grip of your two hands, because when the shark comes in and bites you, it won't break through, but if it gets leverage on you, it'll just rip your arm completely apart.
And at that point, you said, let's do something else.
No, and I can't begin to describe how I felt the universe slow down when I got up at 7:30 in the morning. They were supposed to be at my hotel at 8 with the whole crew. They showed up like 45 minutes late. I'm like, why is everybody late? What is going on right now?
It's
like everything was slow motion. It just felt like everything that everyone was doing, and it's like I'd never even scuba dived in my life, so I had to deal with figuring out how to scuba dive and then getting that metal suit. And it's not, when you go where the sharks are, it's not like you swim down and they wait for the sharks to get in. The sharks come up to the boat. There's like 20 or 30 sharks swimming around, so you have to jump through them and then go down in the water. And then I was actually on like the bow of a boat, and then they bring the tuna in, and it's just like a feeding frenzy, you know, because I kept trying to say, like, hey, look, let's keep it mellow. One or two sharks.
Right.
One or two sharks. Let's get me bit. Let's get out of here. Good. Everybody wins, right? And it was sharks hitting me in the face, going through my legs. It was like 30 sharks in a frenzy. And thank God, what's going to make it so funny?
Did you think you were going to die?
I didn't think I was going to die, but I just didn't want to get... All I was thinking was, like, do you really want to have a McCain arm on some random, like, oh, I got a funny idea, you know what I mean? Like,
it's like,
do you really, like, think of all you're sacrificing right now. This is ridiculous.
Wow.
You know?
Is it worth it for 2 minutes of television?
That's what I'm saying, and boy, oh boy, was it. You know what else is sick, too, is we had underwater mics, and I made my cousin come down with me, and like 20 feet away, you know, and he's like, this has nothing to do with me. Like, when all the sharks came in,
he's all angry.
This has nothing to do with me.
Was he wearing a suit, too?
No, he was off to the side. No, because they're not, if you're not going to get attacked on purpose, they just put you off to the side and make you tuck your arms, because they'll go for your hands if you're just out flaring around.
No kidding.
Dude.
Yeah, it was heavy.
Wow.
I can't wait to see that episode. How far into the season do we get to see you in the sharks?
Man, I wanted it to be the season finale, but I swear it's like the greatest piece of television like I've ever been a part of, that I'm trying to move it up to the fourth episode, like, just because it's based off of, I have a toy line coming out at Walmart, and there's a character called Shark Attack, and it just sort of the idea of, I just got like think how sick it would be to be attacked by a shark, and it was like just a conversation in a car, which led like all the way to it. So it's like,
That's who you surround yourself with right there.
Exactly. Next, how awesome would it be to have an anvil fall on my head from an apartment building? I mean, it just, where does it stop, Rob?
But look, the best part is, like, I had attack dogs come in to, like, man, I don't even know what it's like to be attacked by something. So I had attack dogs come into the fantasy factory, and, like, all the different sized dogs represented different sized sharks. So it was a 6 foot, a 7 foot, an 8 foot. Okay, go. I'm getting, like, yanked around everywhere.
We tried to do that with Lightning back in the day.
We did.
We wanted to put steak on his arms and make him run from dogs. And like, and our company's like, no, we can't take that kind of chance legally.
Well, we got a complaint from the animal welfare people. Remember the,
right.
The ASPCA complained that we would be, their term was worrying the dogs is what they said we would be doing. And we were going to put Lightning in a bite suit and then strap steaks to his body and then have pit bulls go after him. And they wouldn't let us do it. It would have been so funny that you got to do that on your show now.
I mean, I just don't see why they wouldn't let you do that. Well, There's nothing wrong with that.
Our defense was, hey, dogs love steak. What's the downside here?
The person they should be worried about is Lightning. But no, they didn't.
No concern about Lightning whatsoever.
All right. So attacked by sharks. What are some of the other highlights of your show?
I want to hear about the land speed record you and Danny try to break. What's that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm not kidding. Like, Danny Way, of course, we know the greatest skateboarder alive, jumped the China
Wall.
He's
the guy that, for folks who don't remember, he skated the Great Wall of China.
Yeah, I mean, he has all the real world records, you know, where I have all the fake ones.
Right.
And so, you know, he had called me one day in the summer, like, I want to break the world land speed record. I want you to pull me on the 101, and I'm going to wear board shorts, and we're going to go 100 miles an hour. I'm like, dude, I'm not pulling you on the 101 board shorts. You know, it's like, if you really want to do this, like, let's wait. I'm shooting my show in, like, a couple months. Like, let's do it. Let's do it for that. And, you know, and we built this little rig and got him in a leather suit, and it was so sketchy. Went out to an airstrip, and, you know, our goal was to go 100 miles an hour. Like, the record was 72, and we ended up doing 74.
Oh, man.
But it's just like, it's, you know, and I pulled in my T-Rex, you know, which is like the three-wheel little Batmobile race car. Like, you know, it's like, but I all I could think is, like, man, I don't want to kill this dude.
You don't care.
You know, it's like, I can't think of, you know, it was all fun and games. Oh, it's funny for TV. It's going to be great. And then all of a sudden it gets real. Like, you're out on an airstrip. I'm not a professional driver. You know what I mean? Like, I'm on an airstrip. I got my boy's life in my hands right now. Like, and of course, the crazy thing is we had, like, walkie-talkies in our helmets. And it's like, oh, God, and it was like, wow. Like, you know, because one time he went down really bad. And, like,
oh.
I was just like, great, you know, but of course, the way he's built, we got to like 69, he slammed, and I mean...
And then he said, let's do it again?
I mean, it wasn't even like, what are we at? 69, he's like, okay, let's go. You know what I mean? So he's not even like, we gotta win this war. All right, let's get to it. Like, it's crazy, man.
It sounds like a great show, Rob. It's called Rob Dyrdek's Fantasy Factory, and it's a week from this Sunday, February 8th at 9 o'clock on the MTV, part of their new Sunday night block of entertainment that looks like a great night with Travis's show, and I think College Humor debuts that same night.
Yep.
So it sounds like a lot of fun, and it's always great to catch up with you. Sorry we made you get up so early, but we definitely want to do a Cribs-style visit to the Fantasy Factory here pretty soon so we can put it up on KROQ.com so all the listeners can see what it is, too, before your show.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Sounds good.
Thank you, Rob.
I'm just saying, why play the game at this point if the outcome's already been decided?
I'm saying the outcome has not been decided, although the people at EA Sports would beg to differ.
Talking about the Super Bowl, of course, this Sunday, Pittsburgh versus Arizona. Anthony Stevenson is on the line. He is the Madden NFL Senior Product Manager, which I hope is as much fun as it sounds like that job ought to be, Anthony.
Yeah, I think it is. I'm pretty lucky. I might trade it for your job, but that's about it.
I mean, think about your office. If somebody walks by your office at 2 o'clock on a Wednesday and you're in there playing Madden, so what, right? I mean, that's your gig.
I get paid. In fact, if I'm not doing that, I'm actually in trouble.
Yes.
Nice.
Well, we have been giving away all week long. We've been giving away brand new Xbox 360s to K-Rock audiences that call in and a copy of Madden 09. In fact, forgive me, Anthony, because we forgot to do this. We're going to give away one right now with this trivia question, and we want to find out what you did with the Super Bowl for this weekend. Sure. Here's your trivia question. First correct caller through at 1-800-520-1067. The most used screen name for online play for EA's Madden is, well, it includes variations of Michael Vick's alias that he uses when he picks up his herpes medicine. That's the question that we're throwing out there right now. The name that they use online to play Madden includes variations of Michael Vick of the Atlanta Falcons alias that he uses to pick up his Valtrex. 1-800-520-1067. First correct caller through, and you win. And I think you know what the answer is, Anthony, but don't say it out loud. That's got to be pretty funny.
keep my mouth shut.
It's good to see. All right, Anthony, you ran the Super Bowl how many times?
I'm sorry, what's that?
How many times did you run through this matchup, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Arizona Cardinals? Did you just do it once?
We do it one time. One time is all it needs.
One time is definitive.
But in real life, if those two teams were to play on consecutive weeks, the same team wouldn't win all the time. We just figured you must have run it like 10,000 times.
No, because, I mean, think about it. When they show up on Sunday and, you know, the whistle blows, they're only doing it one time. So they only get one crack at it. So, you know, Madden only gets one crack at it.
Now, you have the computer play both sides, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Because, you know, there's a huge difference in the abilities of players.
Right.
Yeah, skill level, right.
I tried to play a game the other day, and I lost 59-0. And I don't think I was on to much there. But you're saying that you ran Super Bowl 43, and the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to win 28-24 over the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what we basically do, guys, is we take the game as though, you know, you just bought it. And we update all the player ratings because, I mean, if you think about the Cardinals, right, at the beginning of the year it was about Matt Leinart. He was the QB and kind of Kurt Warner was one step from going back to the grocery store to bag groceries.
Right.
But, as the weeks went on, Kurt kind of stepped up and, his ratings, his specific player ratings improved week over week over week, especially through the playoffs. So,
sure.
You know, the most up-to-date player ratings that people can download online now via Xbox Live or PlayStation Network, that's what we ran with. So Kurt Warner, you know, his QB rating is going to be in the lower 90 range versus, you know, in the 80s where he would have started the year. So everything's up to date. All the players are where they're supposed to be. And you're absolutely right. It's computer versus computer because you got guys like me and you who are going forward on 4th-and-30.
Yeah.
You know, that's not going to be the correct outcome.
That's not a good idea.
What kind of game did Ben Roethlisberger have? And the reason I ask is because although he won a Super Bowl with the Steelers 3 years ago, he had a terrible performance that year.
He did. He did. His QB rating was like in the 30s, I believe. But believe it or not, he's the MVP. He 21 for 28, 238 yards with three scores. So he spread the ball around and, they established Willie Parker early and it led to a lot of open things down the field.
Anthony, it sounds a little like you believe this.
Oh, I do.
Like,
I absolutely do.
As if it's a real game of some kind.
It is real.
It's not real.
It's real in my world.
Okay.
How did the Steelers stop Larry Fitzgerald?
I mean, that's the key, right? I mean, the big key to the game is to keep pressure on Kurt Warner, but more importantly is to keep Fitz in front of the secondary. If they let them throw jump balls on single coverage, hell, even double coverage on Fitzgerald, we've seen what he can do.
Yeah.
He'll just out-jump you. I mean, he would just take the ball. And, you know, Fitzgerald, I mean, he definitely got his. We have him for 9 catches for 105 yards and a score. But if you think about that, 9 catches for 105, the average yards per catch is you know, around 10.
Yeah.
So that's about where you want to keep Fitzgerald. Keep him running underneath routes. Do not let him get past the secondary, and that's what they were able to do.
Now, before we get all nervous about the way your game came out playing the Super Bowl, and by the way, I should tell you that my man Kevin here put $20 down on the Cardinals to win the Super Bowl at the beginning of the NFL season, before the season even began. So he stands to win $1,200 if Arizona wins on Sunday.
That's
impressive. So is it possible you're wrong, is what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, you know, it's possible.
All right.
It's possible. You know, we've been doing this for about 10, 15 years. And
what's your
about
record?
90% winning percentage. And I'll give you one guess as to one of the years that was a little bit of an upset.
Last year,
of course.
Yeah.
Last year was tough. But, I mean, we've been pretty accurate. Of course, but as you said, look, I mean, we ran it one time. They're only going to play one game. But, you know, anything can happen. And Arizona has surprised everybody so far. So they could do it again.
I can't believe you guys have been 90% accurate doing this so far. That's pretty impressive.
Well, if you think about the Super Bowls, too, I mean, well, first of all, it's a credit to the game, a credit to the engine that we have. I mean, you know, we've got a lot of college coaches, high school coaches, you know, even some in the NFL who actually use it to teach guys plays when they can't get on the field. So, you know, it is that accurate. But the thing you got to remember, too, is the Super Bowls, historically, some of them haven't been all that close. I mean, you know, even the spread last year was big. Vegas has the spread this year pretty big. It's at a touchdown. So, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility. But, again, it's more of a credit to the engine.
Yeah. Have you ever hit the winning team and the winning score on the button?
Ooh, that's actually a really good question. Maybe early on we may have. I think the some of the records are a little bit sketchy in the early days of the that we were
running the simulation. Because it was just guys in their dorm room played it. That's why.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they had the abacus out, and they were just kind of sliding it back and forth. It's possible, but certainly in the last few years we've been close, but I don't think we've actually hit it on the nose.
All right, stand by 1 second, Anthony. We got to talk to Eric. He's in North Hollywood on the Kevin and Bean Show. Yeah, Eric. The question again for an Xbox 360 and a copy of Madden 09 is the most popular screen name for online play in EA's Madden game is variations of Michael Vick of the Atlanta Falcons alias that he uses to pick up his herpes meds. What's that name we're looking for?
Ron Mexico.
Yeah. There you go. Ron Mexico.
He didn't put a lot of work into that, did he? Ron Mexico. Come on.
All right. I did. Congratulations. Hang on. You win big.
All right. Thank you very much. Anthony, another great game.
Absolutely.
Tell us about the Brett Favre thing. Is that kind of over? I mean, did you put a patch up, right, that people could download for the right jersey?
Yeah. Brett Favre was an amazing choice. I mean, this is our 20th anniversary of Madden, if you can believe it. It kind of released. Yeah, 20 years. 1989 was the first year that we had it.
No kidding.
So it's definitely been around. But it's a great thing. I mean, we've got a passionate fan base, and this year we kind of wanted to celebrate what Madden has been for the last 20 years, which is kind of the premier video game franchise in the industry, just like Brett Favre had been the premier quarterback of his time. And his rise to fame was sort of in parallel to Madden. So we thought it was a perfect choice, and then we signed him. And in typical curse fashion, he decided to come back, and one of the best QBs in history and his own team didn't want him.
Yep.
So we obviously had to react to that. And, we did make a special limited edition Jets slip sheet that you could print out online and then slide right into your case in case you did want to have
Him in a Jets uniform. If you were really good, you would have announced the game's retirement and then come back like he did. That would have been impressive. All right.
My only request, and we got to go here after this, Anthony, is for Madden 10 next year, please make a fat Jessica Simpson to put in the crowd at all Cowboys games. That would be so funny.
Can she be on the road games, too?
Absolutely. You should put her on the sideline of every game.
Anthony Stevenson is the senior product manager for Madden NFL, which, of course, has been available for some time and is in stores everywhere. Great to talk to you, man. Enjoy the game. We're looking forward to it.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Anthony. Bye. Time for Ralph Showbiz Beat.
What's that smell? Oh, it's Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt.
What?
Yeah.
Apparently, being Brangelina isn't as glamorous as we all think.
They smell?
Angelina tells Us Weekly magazine. But the world has no idea what they're really like. She says that she and her baby daddy, Brad Pitt, have often gone out to public events with pee on them from one of their kids, and the world had no idea.
Well... Are
they in that much of a rush to get to the premiere? That after Shiloh whizzes on one of them, they can't, you know.
They can't pack a change of clothes
or something?
Stop
by a truck stop and just do a whore bath, you know, something.
They're playing Coachella.
Whore bath?
Whore bath.
Oh,
whore bath.
Good. Yeah. All right, whore bath. We're at Coachella. Hey, you know how much we say Pink and Carrie Hart are the perfect divorced couple?
Yeah,
they seem to be
they really
more
like
than
each
civil.
Other.
Have actually stayed friends, which seems odd.
There may be a reason for that. According to Us Weekly magazine, the divorced couple is moving in together.
Really?
Perhaps they're not quite as split up as we originally thought.
Didn't you always get the impression it was just their schedules?
They couldn't spend any time together.
Yeah. That really made it difficult.
Which, in most marriages, by the way, is a huge plus.
Yeah.
Huge plus. Because that way you don't get into those nerves, you know?
Right.
I think that would be ideal. Apparently, these two idiots want to spend time together.
What? They're going to ruin everything.
I know. Yeah, the magazine's saying that they're moving in together after their very public kiss that everyone was talking about on New Year's Eve, and so they may be giving their relationship another shot.
Okay, explain the pink.
I would like them to work that out.
Yeah, they seem like a very cool
both
couple.
Very nice people.
Really cool couple.
Yeah.
I was talking to you yesterday about how Kelly Clarkson, the original American Idol.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Unlike many other celebrities, is thrilled with this new trend of photoshopping and airbrushing every photo that appears on a magazine cover because she thinks she actually looks better when they work on her a little bit than she would au natural.
She's like the first person that came out and said that.
I know.
Right?
Everyone else bitches about it.
Yeah.
She fights with weight a little bit, I think, Ms. Clarkson does.
She does.
And loses.
And, well, fat wins.
Fat does win.
I think sometimes her skin may be a little breaky outy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that a word?
Yeah.
That's a medical term, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so I'm sure she needs the help. Well, interestingly enough, there's a new documentary coming out about the fashion industry. And they're alleging in this film that Sienna Miller's photos for a September 2007 issue of Vogue magazine were perhaps the most serious case of photoshopping that they've ever heard of.
No kidding.
Rumor has it the editor-in-chief there at Vogue, Anne Wintour,
mm-hmm.
thought that Sienna Miller had too many fillings in her mouth when she opened her mouth, so they went in and photoshopped her teeth to remove the fillings.
Okay.
Thought her hair was unruly, so they gave her new hair.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And in one photo, took her face and put it on a different body.
What's wrong with her body?
Wait, was it not her body or just her another body. Picture of her body?
It was her face and her body, but not the same photo of her face and her body in the same picture.
Wow.
Well, why did she bother even showing up for that photo shoot? Saying.
At some point, don't you just get an artist to come in and just create whatever photo you want of whatever celebrity you want?
I'm sure they took plenty of pictures before.
Saved
that they could
everybody
use.
A lot of time.
That's weird.
Oh, my gosh.
But I thought that was fascinating. So, fellas, that's what I'm saying. Don't compare your lady to the ladies you see in the magazines, because it's just not a fair comparison.
They're not real.
They're not real.
Yeah. They're not real.
So give it up. Give that fantasy up. It's bogus, as Lightning would say. Sad news for everyone who likes seeing women in lingerie hit each other. The lingerie bowl is canceled.
No.
Yeah, that hurts.
Yes, it is. Apparently, the producers this year, a Hudson Entertainment, had a hard time finding a place to hold the event. I'm sorry, Horizon Entertainment, not the Hudson. So they settled on a place called the Caliente Spa and Resort in Tampa, Florida, which is a clothing optional resort.
Oh, you don't want that in Florida, by the way.
With the old people.
Yeah. However, Florida is the swinging and nudity capital of America.
Yeah.
I once did a story for Sex Cetera on Playboy Television, where they sent me down to one of the original swing clubs. And oh, my Lord, what you see down there in Florida.
Yeah.
Florida?
Yeah. They figured, you know, the Caliente Spa and Resort and a clothing optional resort.
Perfect.
Perfect place for lingerie bowl. This way people wouldn't get their hackles up.
Right.
Yeah.
But, however, the tide turned because everyone involved with the lingerie football league is apparently uncomfortable with the nude people being around them.
Yeah.
So the lingerie bowl players have standards below which that reached?
Yes.
And they weren't asked to be nude. They weren't asked to do anything differently than what they had already all anticipated doing, which is play football in lingerie, right?
Right. But the league's chairman, can you believe there's a chairman of the Lingerie Football League? Said the league will not place our fans, players, staff, nor partners in a less than comfortable environment.
Okay, take it easy.
I hope he fails.
Who involved in the Lingerie Football League, by the way, is wigged out by somebody being naked?
That's the question. I don't understand
that. Inch of silk. Okay, take that inch away, and I am no longer comfortable with the female form.
F*** that guy. What do you need him for?
So we get no lingerie bowl at halftime of the Super Bowl.
Why are you bad, America?
Furious. I'm furious.
That's absurd.
And NBC has announced a brand new reality show, which I'm just really looking forward to, called Who Do You Think You Are? It'll be on NBC.
Yeah.
And apparently the show will research the family trees of celebrities.
That is boring.
No other program gives this unique glimpse into the personal lives of celebrities or takes viewers on a quantum leap through history in such an entertaining way,
oh dear.
Says NBC.
Boring.
Wow. We will get the genealogy of such stars as Lisa Kudrow, Susan Sarandon, and Sarah Jessica Parker.
Boring.
Don't be so boring.
Sarah Jessica Parker's family tree, though, is fascinating. Because you got Seabiscuit.
Sure.
Right.
Which was her great-grandfather.
Sure.
Secretariat,
uh-huh.
One of her aunts.
Right.
I mean, you got a lot of horses, is what I'm trying to say.
I don't know. Yeah, Barbara. Your point.
Barbara, yeah. Poor Barbara. She wasn't the same when they had to put her down. It was her cousin.
Yeah.
Her,
that was family tragedy.
Very sad.
Oh, God, I'm bored already.
And speaking of Susan Sarandon, she is going to appear on the final season of ER.
Oh, I was so nervous that sentence was going to end with it, Playboy. I swear to God, that's where I thought you were headed for that.
Hold the phone. Did you see Susan Sarandon at the SAG Awards?
She needs a hydraulic lift for those things. She really does need
she
structural.
Awesome.
Ralph.
Smoking hot.
She hasn't been smoking hot in a long time. I didn't see her that night.
You should have seen her that night.
With she's not
giant,
an ugly woman.
Giant cans.
She's not an ugly woman.
Out there for the world to see. It looked great.
They're out of control, those things, dude. They've got to be strapped down or something.
All right, Kojo. Listen.
I'm serious.
Straight men really enjoyed that view, okay? I'm sorry if you didn't like the way her dress was hanging.
They're at her navel, dude.
It's not her dress that's hanging that he's worried about.
Yeah,
she's
at her navel.
delicious scoops of vanilla flesh, and I insist that I see
Lisa,
them.
Help me out here. From a woman's perspective, they're bad, right?
I didn't see that particular dress, whatever she was wearing, but I have seen them in the past, and as long as they're propped up properly, they look great.
She has large natural boobs.
Yes, she does.
So at a certain point, they're going to not stick up and salute anymore.
Right.
But that happens at any age when you're carrying over D's.
But if they're on your thighs, then you have another problem.
They're not on
her
thighs.
Were they not propped up?
They were perfectly propped up. They looked terrific.
She stepped on a nipple at one point.
Get her picture of her from the SAG Awards.
What mean?
She stepped on a nipple at one point walking down the red carpet.
Did she indeed step on a nipple?
Go to Google, punch in Susan Sarandon, SAG Awards. There you go. Now hit me some images. Get me some images. No, they don't have it.
Did she step on a nipple, Ralph? Just answer the question.
She did not step on a nipple. Yeah, that's her. No, that's it's raining. That can't be the second.
That's
words.
Not it, yeah.
All right, we'll find it.
All right.
And we'll look at it.
I'm just saying.
I'm saying.
But I'm just saying.
Man, I think she about to pull something out of her pants.
Man who rings the bell for Estelle Getty, by the way.
I know.
Starting to make,
I know.
Well, she stayed
observations
hot till the end.
On who's hot and who's not.
Yeah, I know.
Big controversy, by the way. Angelina wore her dress backwards.
Angelina Jolie wore her dress backwards?
Yeah. Big controversy.
So it was lower in the front than the back?
Lower in the back than the front.
Okay, I see her now. I found a photo. She looks fine,
Bean. She looks great. She looked great in the sex.
I don't see her, and I'm going to say no.
You're very judgmental.
I'm going to say no. To just assume the worst.
I'm just going to. Because it's been 20 years since she's been hot.
She is.
I don't even know that she ever was hot.
Very attractive.
She was hot. And for her age,
Bull Durham,
she was
not hot. Bull Durham, you kidding me?
Great in Bull Durham. Looked great in Bull Durham. But that was 25 years ago.
What is she?
And 10 inches, by the way. Her boobs are 10 inches lower than they were in that movie.
I don't know how you can tell. She's wearing a dress that's got a built-in bra.
All right, here comes our producer, Alex. Bringing some SAG photo here. Look at that picture. Nothing wrong with those cans at all.
I'm not saying she didn't have a construction crew come in and prop them up as best she could for that hour. I'm not saying that.
She looked pretty good that night for her.
You said she stepped on a nipple. I think that is what you're saying.
Right, but my fear is that she was going to be in Playboy, which is what the whole conversation started.
The answer to that is no.
And that's what I'm saying. The answer to that is no.
This just dawned on me. And I had your back with the Susan Sarandon thing. But you cannot at all point fingers at Susan Sarandon and say she's not hot when you defend Gwyneth Paltrow, like in her early 30s and has A cups that hit her navel somehow.
Who's 12 and hideous. So it's not about age, obviously. I think Susan Sarandon looks great.
We don't need to see her in Playboy. We can all agree with that.
Yes.
Well,
that's
fine. Okay, you don't see anybody in her 60s
Gwyneth
in Playboy.
Gwyneth Paltrow is saggy boob queen.
All right. Anyway, I'm telling you she's doing ER.
Oh, that's what it was about?
Yes, that's what the story was. She's doing the final season of ER, and everyone was wondering how they landed a high-profile actress like her to do a guest shot on ER. Turns out she is co-starring with the George Clooney in his episode. So that's how you land an Oscar winner, is to get Clooney to come by, and then
Oscar winner to come in.
People start lining up to work with the Golden Boy. So
and she'll play his great-grandmother on the episode? Or
she will play the the woman that goes to a small island in the Pacific Northwest and murders a douchebag.
Wow. Yeah. I'd like to meet that woman.
I would, too.
I'd like to sponsor her.
I'd like to pay her to go today.
Pin a medal on her pendulous breasts. That's what I'd like to do. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Tom Selleck is 64 years old today. Tommy Ramone of the Ramones, is 57 years old. Oprah Winfrey, talk show host and moose, is 55. Nicholas Turturro, an actor from NYPD Blue and other projects, is 47. Ed Burns is 41. Heather Graham is 39. Didn't they date for a while?
Yes,
Ed Burns?
They did.
Sure did.
Yeah, I guess you have to when you have the same birthday.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. And Sarah Gilbert from ER, speaking of which, and Roseanne, she is 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as big.
So you watched last night, Kevin? You enjoyed American Idol? You saw American Idol from Salt Lake City last night?
What makes you think I'm ever going to watch that show? They sing songs I don't like.
Because it's awesome, because it's America's favorite television show, that's why.
I'm not in.
They were in Salt Lake City last night. By the way, Ralph, I'm sure you had the same observation I did that I just couldn't help but laugh, is that girl after girl would get up there smoking hot, beautiful girls. They were 19, they were 20, they were 23, they were 24.
Moms.
All of them had children. Every single one of them.
All of them moms?
All of them. I said, why do they make you have a child at 18 in Utah?
What would they do with their kid if they went through the hall.
They don't care about that. They just want to be stars.
Put them on a compound?
Wow.
What happens is they won't let you have sex before you get married, so you get married at 17 in a day.
You sure
so
you can have sex? You sure can get tattoos, though.
Yeah.
There's plenty of that going on.
So we got a couple of highlights from Salt Lake City last night. Of course, there was the usual assortment of people that you hear them and you just go, I'm not sure why that person wasted their own time to even show up for the audition. Here's a couple of those.
Last night, I got served a little bit too much of that poison, baby. Last night, I did things I'm not proud of. Look at me. I am gorgeous. I am absolutely gorgeous.
By the way,
here's this avalanche of beauty in one woman, and I'm it.
Here's a little editor's note here. Not at all gorgeous.
Using the term gorgeous ironically.
Did she write that?
Yes.
Is that a original?
I think it's from a musical.
Never heard it.
Okay. I don't know, but that song should be banned from being sung by fat people.
Ain't no valley big enough to make me go human.
You're never, ever in a million billion years going to win a show like this or become... Oh, no.
Can I sing something else?
Okay, he may have missed the point of how bad he is.
Oh, it's the song choice then you're saying. I should sing something
else. So if I'll never, ever, ever win, can I go again? Can I audition again?
Can I try again?
That was the creepy guy, by the way, who was cross-eyed, Kevin, and licked his lips all the way around when he was talking.
No. Looks like Ted Nugent on crack.
Oh, fantastic. I hope they put him through.
I'm sorry.
See, that's what's wrong with this show.
Here was a they should do an alternate show on an alternate channel, like at Fox Reality, where they just put the very worst people in the computer to see who's worse.
They did that.
They follow the worst, and then they get
a worst series where they did an American Idol type audition, and they kept putting through the worst people, telling them how great they were. And then they had the full competition at the end when they award the prize. They said, "You need to know the real goal of this show is to find the worst singer in America."
And did they find that funny?
They didn't find it nearly as funny. No.
They still thought they were good.
Yeah.
Here's Andrew. You don't see much gospel in the audition process, but here's a young man named Andrew in Salt Lake City last night, and seeing how he does.
Well, I heard such rumbling in the sky. I thought Milo was passing by. Just go, chariot drawing high. Oh, let me fly. Oh, let me fly.
Unbelievably, he didn't get through either. What's that be?
At least people like that guy can carry a tune. At least they're somewhere close to where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
So you can see how they would think that sounds great.
Yeah, he wasn't anywhere near the worst that appeared last night.
Right.
Now, I don't normally do this because we usually don't have the time, but I'm getting ready to play a contestant from the show last night who sang a song from Moulin Rouge that Nicole Kidman sang called One Day I'll Fly Away. Yes. And I want you to hear, before we hear her version, I want you to hear a little bit of the original just so you know what it is she's trying to sing, okay?
One day I'll fly away.
All right, so you got it? You got the melody in your mind now?
Yes, okay.
It. All right, let's hear a little bit of...
One day I'll fly away.
A little bit of Tara here.
Leave all this to yesterday. What more could your love do for me? When will love be through with me?
It just gets better and better.
Wow. How come they haven't stopped her?
Dream to dream. And dread the day when dreaming.
The judges, by the way, are sitting staring at her with their mouths open, just in utter dismay. And they look and they look and they wait and they wait and then.
One day
then she takes their silence as an endorsement, like, keep going.
Keep going.
They need
a trap door, and those people need to fall into a pool of sharks.
Yeah.
You know, just like one time.
The judge would be.
I do get the impression they must go to the judges and say, look, we're making a TV show. You got to let them sing for a little bit so that we have footage to choose to use if
we
need to. And it must be so difficult for them when they know from the first note that the people blow to sit there and not do anything. Well, this has been the year of the sad sack stories on American Idol. Most of the episodes so far this season, there's been, remember, of course, there was the blind guy a couple weeks ago that Ryan high-fived.
Right. Yep.
There's always people who are just, you know, working through extraordinary circumstances and just trying to live their dream. And they always put him at the end of the show, and you always know they're going to get through.
Mm-hmm.
This was the story from last night. This, how old was the girl whose both of her parents have died?
17. Ralph? She was 17 years old.
17.
Dad died at 13, and then
I got tape of her talking about that. Yeah, just the sweetest girl in the world. But listen to her sad sex story.
My dad died when I was 13. He was an amazing, amazing person, and I'm so thankful for, you know, just getting to know him, because a lot of people didn't, and like, I'm so privileged.
Okay, so her dad died, and you're already feeling bad. Then she goes on.
2 years later, when I was 15, my mom died. She got in a car accident, and it was very, very sudden. It's still really tough, because I just wish that they were here to see me excel.
So you're thinking, oh, please let her be good.
Yes.
Please let her be good. Right? You can't give me that sad story, and then, you know, she blows, and they send her home and laugh at her, right?
Right, right.
Well, you be the judge. Here she is singing a little Carole King last night.
I feel the earth move under my feet. I feel the sky tumbling down. I feel my heart start to tremble in when you are around.
Paula? She, first of all, screwed up the lyrics.
She did,
oh, did she?
Yeah.
She sang the wrong words?
Yeah.
Yeah, and second of all, am I wrong? Not good, right?
Not very.
Did you guys think she was good?
Fine. She was fine.
She was okay, yeah. But she certainly didn't seem like the kind of person who was going to take it to the next level ever.
Yeah.
Right. She was in the middle of being average.
Yeah.
And, of course, the judges are in a spot where they know what the deal is. So let's see what they're able to come up with that's nice to say about her.
Paula?
You've got such a beautiful face, such a beautiful aura about you. You're just really cool.
But no.
Thanks.
I mean, if Paula can't find something to compliment about your singing, then you got trouble.
That American aura, then maybe she would be able to go through.
Be the only judge.
Exactly. Let's see what Simon does.
Got to work on the vocals, though. Got to work on them.
Rose, I didn't think it was the best song choice, but there's something about you which I absolutely love.
I was just saying, they put her through to Hollywood.
They did?
And it's just a bad, bad trend, as crazy as some of these Idol contestants are, because seriously, now they're going to start murdering their parents. I mean, there's no question that that's the next step. That's the fast ticket to Hollywood right there, is just go in there as an orphan, and you win.
When she was telling that story, I was thinking, I'd like to see a background check. I don't know. I didn't trust
mom and dad are sitting at home knitting, drinking beer. Hey, wait a minute.
Well, we're almost done with the bad, by the way. I think there's one more show, and it's tonight. And it's half New York City and half San Juan, Puerto Rico. That's going to be the episode tonight.
I thought they only did two.
Bonus.
Twice a week.
Bonus episode.
Wow.
Bonus. Okay. And then next week, most of the people that we've been listening to for the past few weeks will be cut because they go to Hollywood.
Hell week.
Go to Hollywood starting next
they
week.
Call it Hell Week?
I do.
Oh, okay. All right.
So we'll have that for you tomorrow right here, American Idol on the world famous K-Rock.
I am a betting genius. That's what I'm saying. Betting genius.
You got lucky.
I got very lucky is the other way to look at it.
It was a fluke. You thought, hey, Ralph's going to Vegas anyway. Well, what's going to hurt me to give him a 20 to put down on my Cardinals, who suck, by the way? I don't know. Had they ever even played a playoff game?
Well, not since they were in Arizona. I mean, if that's what you're asking.
But, 20 years, right?
But I figured the odds were long enough, and Ralph was going to Vegas anyway, so I put $20 on them winning the Super Bowl. So if they don't win, I still don't win. But I only put $20 on it, and it was 60-1, so I'll win $1,200 if they win.
That's going to be so sweet. I just want you to know, for the record, I am totally rooting for the Cardinals. I want to see that happen. Because you're going to go to Vegas, cash in that ticket, and come back here and make it rain.
No, I'm not. I'm going to go to Vegas, and I'm going to cash that ticket, and then I'm going to make it rain there. I'm going to have to be picked up by a cab.
That money will never make it back home.
That's correct.
Your poor wife and kids will never see a penny of that $1,200 because they won't leave Vegas. But what about the people on the flip side of Good Luck Kevin who make a bet that they're so sure of, that they bet something stupid and then they lose? Those are the people that we want to talk to here this morning.
We had that guy that was betting against the Eagles that ended up having to come in and get a tattoo of Rodney in an Eagles jersey.
Yes. That's right.
He had to get a tattoo, and unless he lasers it off, he's stuck with that for the rest of his life.
Yep.
Remember,
that's pretty dumb.
I can't remember. It was either 2 or 3 years ago. There was a girl that called up, and she was rooting for one team, and the guy was rooting for another team, and it was...
Oh.
It was... the bet was anal.
She gave up the ass.
Yeah, that was what she would have to do if her team lost. And they did.
And they did.
And she did. So we want to take phone calls from people who lost something big, weird, extreme mm-hmm. on a sports bet. So this is one of the biggest sporting, you know, betting weekends of the year.
You probably do this only when you just know, like in your heart, that yeah. there's no way you could lose.
I guess, but I don't know how anyone knows that.
I don't know.
You know, unless
you. But people do that.
Yeah, they make dumb bets.
Oh, yeah.
And that's who we want to talk to at 1-800-520-1067. You made a stupid bet, and you had to pay it. You had to follow through with whatever it was.
Yeah.
Mike, there have to be people in your crazy circle of friends who bet on stuff. There have to be people who have made regrettable bets, I would think.
They're usually money-based. I remember the one time, a Lakers playoff game where a friend of mine had to pick up a huge log of dog doo-doo and just wipe it all over his face.
Oh! Oh, come on!
Yeah.
Who makes a bet like that?
A guy who's high at the time?
Yeah, and... the only rule is that he's like, can I jump in the pool right after? And everybody's like, all right. That was the
Are
only
you
rule.
Serious? And somebody bet it. That on yeah. a sporting event?
That's not a good bet right there. That is the kind of thing we're looking for, though, at 1-800-520-1067. You bet huge on some sporting event and you lost, and we'll talk to you right after. Talking about betting on sports, because this weekend is such a huge weekend to bet on sports.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about people who lost really bad bets. They were stupid to make that bet, like the girl who was promising to go down to Brown Town. That girl.
What?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, Todd, who emails, diehard Clippers fan, every year bets $50 that the Clippers will make it to the second round of the playoffs. So far, he's lost about $500. Now, you're stupid. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you're not stupid, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about there are some bets that go far beyond losing a little bit of cash. There are bets that you can't believe you made because you lost and you'll regret for the rest of your life. And that's the calls we're taking at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, let's start with Pedro in Montebello.
Nice.
Pedro's on line two. Hey, Pedro, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd you do?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Hi, good. Lisa.
Hi.
What did you bet on?
I bet on you remember the big old blockbuster fight between Oscar and Manny Pacquiao?
Of course, yeah. Manny Pacquiao destroyed him.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I'm Mexican and I have a friend that's Filipino. And we bet each other the opposite flags of whoever lost.
You bet flags? What do you mean? The tattoo?
Yeah, the tattoo of flags.
So you had to get a Filipino tattoo where?
On my arm.
Oh, my God.
No kidding.
Dude, that's horrible. How come your Mexican friends haven't beat you up yet?
I get made fun of every day, and I put a little thing Oscar under the flag, so.
Wow, nice.
So, you know, I think a little schoolgirl could have had a better chance than.
Yeah, that was not even close. I mean, he lost that fight by second one.
Yes.
Oh, that hurts.
So you're exactly the guy we're talking about because you were betting with your heart instead of your brain, and you thought there's no way you could lose that. You thought that was the safest bet you could make, right?
Right, because I was watching that little special on HBO, and they said, oh, I know Oscar looks good. He's
right.
Stop waiting, looks buff or whatever, and thanks, Oscar, you wimp.
Hey, that's Oscar, hilarious. do you feel bad that this guy had to get a tattoo?
Because I won the fight. Actually, I won the fight.
You quit.
It's not a mirage. It was the way they did it to the great champion, the Golden Boy. Everybody's racist against Mexicans.
He destroyed you. He got 7,000 punches, and you got none.
I severed his head with my Mexican fist.
I
love you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Pedro. Let's go down to Glendale on 95 and talk to John on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, John, what was the sporting event you were betting on? Let's start there.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hi. It was UFC.
UFC, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it was that Corey Hill fight where he broke his leg.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Hart Hill, yeah.
Yeah, that was heartbreaking. It ended so quickly.
Yes.
But we decided that when we lost the fight, we had this old beaten-up car that only goes like 25 to 30 miles. So we built this makeshift concrete wall out of bricks, and we had to ram it into it going 25, 30.
So you had to get in that old car and drive as fast as it would go into a wall.
Into a wall.
That is a bad bet.
I love that because that shows how much they were drinking when they made it.
Yeah, good point.
Did somebody videotape that for YouTube, dude?
I wish they did.
Mm. Oh, how do you do that and not have it on tape? That's awesome.
And you lost, John?
Immediately.
Yeah. Did you get hurt?
Well, I got this scar like on my forehead.
Oh, good.
But it's not that great. Yeah, it's not that big.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
So it's totally worth it. You do it again.
Okay. That's fantastic. Thank you for the call. Let's try David and Reseda. He's on line 7 on the Kevin DeBean Show. By the way, did the girls ever make these stupid bets?
No.
So far, it seems like they're all guys.
Pretty much
calling.
No.
No.
David, what did you bet on?
Hey, what's up, Kevin DeBean?
Hi. What, what sporting event?
Basketball.
Okay.
The Lakers, right. Celtics.
Oh, man.
Yeah, bad one.
Yeah.
So I'm hanging out with one of my buddies whose sister I've always had a crush on.
Yeah.
And we're just sitting around table talking about bets. And he was like, all right, if the Celtics win, you can hook up with my sister.
He can just offer her up like that?
Wow, that's cool that he's got that kind of power.
She has no choice.
Yeah, right?
All right.
What, does he have a gun or something? I mean, how does that happen?
He's a pimp.
Well, he just knew I always had a crush. So, but my part of the deal was going to be the worst part.
Okay.
I knew that right out the gates. So if the Lakers won, I had to go in front of Weight Watchers naked with a permanent marker on my chest that says, eat this, ladies.
Nice.
Oh.
What?
Nice.
Eat this with an arrow, I'm hoping not.
Of course.
Yeah, with an arrow, of course.
Of course.
And did you do it? Were you a man of your word and paid up?
I was a man of my word. I did it. It was awkward. The women's faces were like so tormented by it.
Yeah.
Dude,
but it was great.
If you had won your bet, did you ever talk to your friend afterwards and say, look, if I had won, how was I going to get your sister? How were you going to make that happen?
Well, no, I think she's had a crush on me, too, so I think it would have just kind of worked out.
Well, just go after her out.
Why don't you just make that happen away from a bet?
Well, I don't know.
You're bad.
Oh, you are lame.
All right, David.
You are bad.
He's not telling us the whole story. There's stuff he's leaving out on purpose, and I don't know what
absolutely.
It is.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you for the call.
So our advice is, there's still time for you to make a horrible bet on this weekend's Super Bowl, and then call us Monday and tell us how it went.
And you are listening to the, we're on the air, dude. You are listening to the Kevin DeBean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8:51.
Kind of stuck on my things, just talking about sexual acts now is completely acceptable and encouraged by our parent company.
Yeah, he's good with that.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Kevin DeBean Show for a Thursday morning wrap. We're with our final look at the Showbiz Beat for the morning show. Of course, he's back every night just before 6 p.m.
Nope.
For the late breaking edition. What?
Nope.
Do that anymore?
Com.
All right.
No, I got a sub.
What? What's going on?
You got a sub?
Yeah. Doto. Send a Doto.
Oh, I'm great. In.
The Doto Show.
I'm in.
Shoto.
Shoto.
Shoto. Jennifer Aniston. Oh, Jen. I can listen to you talk all night long about girls and dating. Here's the thing. They got this new movie coming out called He's Not That
He's
Into
Just
You.
Not That Into You.
Stop it, Lisa, already. I'm sick of it.
That started with Sex in the City.
Yeah, I know. I know where it started.
Okay.
I have a wife. I know where all of it comes from.
I think
For now, you have a wife.
It was just an off-the-cuff remark, right?
It was a whole episode.
It was the theme of the episode. Was okay. Why Guys Don't Call You Back. Yeah, two of the writers from the show who wrote that episode spun that off into a very popular book that the Lisa Mays of the world bought in droves. And so now they're making a feature film based on a book that came off of a line from Sex and the City.
I think you have that right.
Hmm. I think if I say that sentence again, I will grow ovaries.
Oh, God, I'm bored already.
So Jennifer Aniston's in it.
Yes.
This is just the wettest dream for every lonely cat-loving woman out there is this movie. Jennifer Aniston, and so she's doing a lot of press for it, and so she's just talking incessantly about dating and her boyfriends and hilarious hijinks therein.
Sure.
She has advice for everyone around dating. Don't order cherry tomatoes when you're on a date. Because once she went out with a guy who bit into a cherry tomato, and he spewed seeds all over the white dress that she was wearing on the date.
Really? Does she think
women are good for nothing, aren't they? Yeah, you got that right.
Does she think that's likely to happen again?
She's just giving advice. Gene Simmons, any useful advice about spewing seeds on a date?
No. No.
You're a big fan of spewing seeds.
All right.
Come on. All right. You don't go anywhere with that.
Yeah. So there's your tip for today from Jennifer Aniston. All no right. Charity.
Yes, exactly. What the women want. Who cares?
Where, you know, it's an avalanche.
How long until that comes out?
I think it's next week.
Okay, good.
And then you also have Renee Zellweger,
who's
a fish out of water.
Yes,
and she wears a lot of high heels, and she's got
to
go
to
Minnesota. And she's
in the winter.
She's a city girl from the warm weather.
She doesn't know how to fit in the cold.
Oh, Kevin, she has no idea how to live in the cold with all that
that cold up there and their outdoorsy sort of rural ways.
Yeah.
But luckily, Harry Connick Jr., who's some sort of lumberjack or something, is there to sweep her off her feet and make her see the true joys of small town living and Irish fishing.
The city people are shallow and bad, and the country people are salt of the earth and good.
You know, small town people have wisdom beyond us city folk, and they're going to teach her a very important lesson about life and love.
I can start a fire. Where's the little button to make it go?
Exactly.
That isn't good for you.
Exactly. I can't pee outdoors in this snowsuit. It's just...
Well, of course you can.
It's just...
That's very difficult.
Yeah, I don't think you guys know, man.
Yeah. If you're a 40-year-old woman still struggling with the mechanics of how to take a pee anywhere...
That's true.
You should be put in a home.
With a helmet.
They're coming out with, like, maybe the same day, these two films. It is a chick flick-a-palooza.
Sweet.
So, and Paul Blart not looking too bad now, is it?
I'd become a mall cop before I would go to see either of these films. And my wife has dates circled on her calendar for the release of both of them.
That is no way to live.
But at least when they go on cable, she'll watch them 100 times in a row, never tiring of either of these films.
Who knew the Kevin James movie we would one day look back as the golden age of cinema?
You guys, it's just not for you.
You think?
Yeah.
We're just not that into it?
Yeah, exactly.
What's the Renee Zellweger movie called?
I forget the name of it, actually.
It's Heart of Snow.
Hey, women,
come watch
this.
Hey, can't pee in a snowsuit. Or just high heels are bad in ice or some BS. What the hell's it called?
My face looks like I smelled a fart.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the name of it.
Called the Squinty Puffy Face. The movie. I'm dreading it.
It's called New in Town. Right?
New in Town.
There you go.
Because she is a fish out of water.
I think we
get
that.
I'm not effing you where they say that in the trailer. They're not even trying to hide it anymore. You know, cause the fish out of water thing has sort of become a cliche when you're describing any movie where someone's coming from one culture into another. They start the trailer by saying, she's a fish out of water. And then I hope she would grab her throat and start gasping for air, just pawing at her gills, if that's the case. Why doesn't she die like a fish out of water does?
She's more of a sea kitten out of water than she is a fish.
Don't get me started with the freaking sea kittens. Freaking PETA. My last nerve with them. Paris Hilton.
Whore.
She was a fish out of water when she was in England this week.
I'll bet she was.
Promoting her new reality TV show, Paris Hilton's BFF, but that stands for Paris Hilton's British best friend.
Oh.
She's got a British version.
Is she going to do this in every country?
I hope so. Whatever keeps her out of America, I'm all for it. She should fly around the world finding best friends in other countries.
I got an email. A listener in England who said, oh, dear God, we don't want her.
Oh, too late.
We got to send her
too late.
To Canada.
She's yours.
You got her. Way to go.
Paris says she loves Britain. London is my favorite city in the world. She was quoted as saying in this interview.
Mm-hmm.
Then the British press asked her if she loves Britain so much. Hey, do you know the name of the prime minister of the country you're in? Now, Gordon Brown is the correct answer. Paris responded, it's Gordon. Gordon Ramsay? Gordon Ramsay, for those who don't know, is the chef on Hell's Kitchen who yells a lot about risotto.
TV chef.
That is the worst risotto I've ever tasted. It's risotto, isn't it, Gordo?
But you can love the country without knowing who the government is, right?
If someone came to America and said, hey, we just got a new president. Did you hear? Was it all the news? What's his name?
That happened to me on inauguration day, and I couldn't believe it.
Exactly. You're our Paris Hilton, Kevin. I just decided. You are the Paris Hilton of the Kevin and Bean Show. And they said, Dwayne Barack Johnson or something, you know? Then you'd have to say that person's an idiot.
Yeah, that'd be bad, yeah.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Tom Selleck, you probably know him best as Magnum P.I.
Yep.
I gotta admit, I dug that show. I wanted to be him. I wanted to go around in cargo shorts and Hawaiian shirts and a Detroit Tigers baseball cap and drive a red Ferrari.
Ralph? One of the better TV theme songs. Can I get a little bit of it?
That isn't good for you.
All right. Okay, good.
I may be a bad person for having never seen Magnum P.I., but he is a detective. That's what he just
private
solves,
investigator.
Cases.
Magnum P.I. is the name of the show. I don't know where you could have guessed that he might have been a detective. I don't know where in your deductive reasoning you came up with that, Bean. But
I thought it was Magnum Philippine Islands. I didn't realize.
There's Magnum and there's P.I.
That's okay, all so you need to know. It's right the there in the show.
So he chases criminals or solves cases or what does he do?
No, oddly enough, he spends a lot of time gardening, Bean. It's called Magnum P.I., but really he just tends a big garden in Hawaii.
He solves cases, yes, Bean.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it a good show? Or
he was
a
nom vet who was living on his best friend's estate, who was a very wealthy novelist named Robin Masters. And Robin had a snooty English butler named Higgins.
Yes, he did.
Who did not care for Magnum one whit, I tell you.
I got you. I got you.
Oh, Magnum. I used to say that quite a bit. Very disappointed in Magnum quite often. Oh, Magnum. Very entertaining show. Tommy Ramone of the Ramones is 57 years old today. Oprah Winfrey turns 55. Nicholas Turturro, actor from NYPD Blue and brother of John Turturro, or cousin or something. He's in the Turturro family.
Sure.
47. Ed Burns, writer and director and actor, is 41. Heather Graham turns 39. And Sarah Gilbert, star of ER and Roseanne, turns 34 today. Oh, Magnum. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Is he a private investigator, Ralph?
I may be a bad person, but what does Magnum P.I. do for a living? What sort of stuff does he do on the Magnum P.I. show?
I want to thank our special guest, Maggie Grace, for joining us on the show today. Very beautiful and talented actress. Her new film is called Taken. It opens everywhere tomorrow with Liam Neeson. Also, thanks to Rob Dyrdek for joining us. His show is called Rob Dyrdek's Fantasy Factory. It debuts on MTV 1 week from Sunday. That's February 8th at 9 o'clock. And we also want to thank the Anthony Stevenson representative from EA Sports talking about Madden 09 for joining us in the program today.
The Mentalist. What sort of person is he on that show on CBS? What is his nom de work?
Tomorrow morning is Friday morning. We got the Movie Beat. We have Andrew Siciliano live from Tampa talking about the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky bastard.
And this afternoon, we have Jay Rude, who is the MGM Mirage Race and Sportsbook director. And he's going to tell us all about betting on the Super Bowl. And we'll,
you can bet on, for instance, on how long the national anthem will be. That's the sort of thing that they take wagers on for the Super Bowl. Like, will it be shorter or longer than 2 minutes, for instance?
Yeah, it's really stupid. What does the NFL do? What do they do?
What sort of sport is the National Football League?
What stuff did you do in Slither?
All right, we don't have time for that. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock Music, including
what
the new
time
one
of
from
the day is Midnight Racer?
Remember that? What was that one? Midnight Club. It had Midnight Club in the title.
What time of day does that video game take place?
You drive awfully fast. And what time of night could you drive that fast in Midnight Club?
How about You Two Get Your Boots On is the new one. Also, some Radiohead.
What shoes do they ask you if you want to put them on in that song? Get
Your Boots On. The Killers and War. Coming up next, right after this on K-Rock. Well, the boss is back. Bruce Springsteen's latest song, title song from his latest album, just came out on Tuesday, and he is everywhere. Big VH1 making of the album special this coming Saturday night, Sunday. His first ever appearance at the Super Bowl. He's going to be the halftime entertainment, 12 big minutes of Bruce on Sunday. And I think we've got him on the phone right now to find out what he's got planned for this, one of the biggest audiences of his career. Hey, boss, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Good afternoon.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, how's it going?
Very well. How about you?
Doing great down here in Tampa, Florida. How's things there in Los Angeles?
Very good, thank you.
Great.
Well, we're excited about the game, of course, and really excited about seeing what you're going to do at the halftime show. How do you pick what songs you're going to play when you've got 500 songs you could do?
It's not easy, man, but you have to, you want to try to play the hits.
Right.
Keep people happy and maybe sneak in one song off the new disc as well. But,
okay,
right. We really haven't worked out the set list yet.
Isn't it this Sunday?
Yeah, but we got some time.
Couple
we're just
days?
Doing a couple songs, so we know them pretty well. So
yeah.
We'll just knock out a couple of the ones that we feel most comfortable with.
Okay.
All right. And what else are you doing down there in Tampa? What are you doing with all your time? You going to any of the parties or hanging out with celebrities or what?
You know, I remember when I first came down here to Florida.
What?
We didn't know what to do, so started walking up and down the streets.
Right.
Up to no good. And I said, hey, guys, let's stop at this little strip club.
Yeah.
Went in there, and found a cute little blonde girl who's, I don't know, about 19, 20 years old.
You already did a song about this?
Yeah. So, there I was, sticking 100 after 100 into her G-string. And right. Little bitch wouldn't put out.
Oh!
Didn't give me nothing.
She's not supposed to.
So I told her if she met me in the back alley, I'd give her a special autographed picture and a copy of the new CD.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So she met me back there, and I grabbed a trash can lid.
No, you
I
did not.
Beat her to death.
That didn't happen.
No, no, no.
Dumped her in a dumpster.
Oh, that did Come not on, happen. That's awful.
I had to roll a homeless guy to change clothes with him because I had blood all over me, and washed my hands in a puddle of rainwater.
You didn't
behind,
do that.
Pulled up what? Behind the...
Why are you making this up?
Why are you making this up?
Cops have no idea.
Bruce.
So that's what I've been doing down here in Florida mostly.
Wow. Yeah. I'm sorry I asked.
It's good times. You guys come down and join me.
No thanks.
Thursday afternoon here on K-Rock, Ralph Garman joins us.
Ralph.
What?
Period. Ralph. Oh. I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die.
Come on.
Ralph.
That doesn't seem fair at all.
I don't know.
We've been saying that as well.
No. Time for the Showbiz Beat for a Thursday afternoon. What's going on?
We have a new celebrity baby. You know what that means? Celebrity baby bad name.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Apparently, Joel Madden isn't the only member of Good Charlotte who's a new dad.
Oh, no.
Guitarist Billy Martin, former Yankees manager.
I don't think it's the same guy. Oh, Ralph. I'm pretty sure.
And his wife, Lindsay, are quietly celebrating the birth of their son. By the way, Lindsay, Billy Martin's wife, spells her name L-I-N-Z-I.
Oh, no.
Lindsay.
He's still having kids, that guy?
Billy Martin?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's not... You know,
he's like 80?
He's not managing anymore, so he's...
No, but he's
got the guitar, and he's playing for Good Charlotte.
He's super old.
Yeah, he's been dead. That Billy Martin has been dead for many, many
he's
years.
He's dead, and he's still having babies? That's even more ridiculous.
Gilligan.
The couple's child is a boy?
You can't tell from the name?
I can't tell from the name.
Awesome.
Let me see. Let me look here in the story. Yes, a boy. His name, Drevin.
That's a terrible name.
That's a mistake.
Drevin?
No.
That can't be the case. Someone heard wrong.
That's a typo.
It may be Draven. It's either Draven or Drevin.
How do you spell it?
D-R-E-A-V-Y-N.
Terrible name.
Oh, my God.
Right? That's spectacular.
I think it's Drevin.
Drevin.
Kingsley, his middle name, Kingsley. K-I-N-G-S-L-E-E.
That makes him interesting.
Kingsley.
Makes him interesting.
Martin.
Yes.
I rebuke this in the name of the Lord.
Drevin Kingsley Martin.
That's a bad Dude. Name on every level.
Well, Drevin or Draven, welcome to the planet. You will never stop getting your ass kicked.
That's correct.
Welcome to my nightmare.
More baby news. Elizabeth Hasselbeck is pregnant again.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, she announced the happy news this morning on The View.
God, wasn't she just pregnant?
Yes, Lisa. This will be the third child for Elizabeth and her football-playing husband, Tim Hasselbeck, quarterback. I don't even know if he's playing in the league anymore.
I don't know who.
I don't know who what team he's with. But the baby is due in August, says Elizabeth, and they've already got a name picked out. It's Herbert Walker George Ronald.
That's not true.
Reagan Lincoln.
I don't think that's true.
Rush O'Reilly Hasselbeck. So
I'm actually
quite a name.
Sort of pleased when she gets knocked up because that means she takes a few months off of
right.
The View.
She's got to take some time off.
Right. You know, there's another option, and that is don't watch it.
No,
you know what?
Can't not watch
I've taken
the view.
My whole life off The View.
I can avoid it entirely.
Never even accidentally caught it. Jessica Simpson's fat.
Yep.
Yes, she is.
And Star Magazine wants us to believe that her boyfriend, Tony Romo, cheated on her while she was out of town performing.
I hope
Well, you said she was fat, so what's the the controversy?
Can't blame a guy, right?
Right.
According to the story, Jessica flew out of Burbank Airport on January the 16th to go perform, and Tony decided to host an invitation-only party at Jessica's house while she was gone.
Oh, that's that's a particularly strong move there, in her house. I like it.
Onlookers say he hooked up with a beautiful brunette and slept with her in Jessica's bed in her house.
Oh, that's a good move.
I have never had more respect for Tony Romo than I do.
That's a classy
move.
I know
I'm always speaking poorly of him.
Yes,
but I
you
think
are.
Right now, he's quite the feller.
I'm just always surprised when Tony Romo scores anything.
Oh!
See, Mike?
It's for you, Mike.
It's for you, Mike. That was a football joke, because he's the quarterback of the Cowboys.
And he doesn't score a lot?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Right, because they suck.
See?
Yeah.
You get it.
Unlike the Seahawks, who are good.
Apparently, he kept fumbling her breast, though. They kept being knocked out of the That's kind of sad. And speaking of Jessica Simpson, we may be playing right into her chubby little hands.
How are we playing into her hands?
Well, she's fat.
Right.
Yep.
Now, MSNBC says that you'd think she'd be horrified by all this negative publicity, but word is Jess is loving the attention.
I don't think there's a woman alive that would love the attention of being called fat.
I could not agree with you.
Unless you hated more the prospect of being obscure and forgotten.
You think she'd rather be called fat than not be mentioned?
I think she'd rather be on the cover of tabloid magazines than not be on the cover of them.
All right.
I don't know.
Her manager slash father, according to the same story, is angling to make a profit by all this by selling the story of her weight loss, her weight gain. First of all, what emotional distress led her to eat so much?
Yeah.
Then turn it all around, have her lose the weight, and sell yet another story and perhaps book and video on her weight loss plan and exercise program.
Interesting.
Wow, he's an evil genius.
Money could be made by Jessica's fat, which is something she could never do with her voice.
That's true.
She's got something that comes out of her body that is useful.
The famous photos of her at the chili cook-off in Florida, I think, is what started off this controversy about her fatness. She couldn't have dressed less in a flattering way, which now I'm starting to think, Ralph, you could be onto something, because she wanted to appear as fat as possible to get everybody talking. Now we're all dying to know how she's going to lose the weight.
She said, I'm a little chubby now. If I wear really tight mom jeans, that'll make my ass look even bigger, and I'll wear this big wide belt, and I'll show off my ham hock arms.
No way.
This way, when I lose 15 pounds and I wear the proper clothing, I'll look twice as slim, and I'll sell
good one, fatty.
A bunch of videos and a bunch of books about how I got my voluminous ass under control.
And then Dad will want to sleep with me again.
That's right.
Oh, man.
What's up, not so fat?
She's got some beautiful bosoms, my daughter.
Yeah, he's a creepy dude.
My daughter's got some breasts. Oh.
Hey, Tubby. Want another Pop-Tart, Tubby?
So usually you got to beg a girl to call you Daddy. But in this particular case, it's already built in.
That is not a good family.
That's all I'm saying.
That is not a good man.
They cut out the middleman.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Hey, volume.
Ashley married a guy in Fallout Boy to get out from under Daddy. Come on, that's how bad it is in that family.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Tom Selleck is 64 years old today. He was on a show called Magnum P.I. Not a descriptive enough title for Bean.
Bean
could not figure out exactly what his profession was.
Bean this morning asked what Magnum P.I. did for a living.
Yeah.
And we told him that P.I. stands for private investigator.
Didn't quite grasp that.
I was shocked.
Shocked.
Tommy Ramone of the Ramones.
All right.
Is 57 years old today. Oprah Winfrey. You know her.
Okay. That wins.
She's Jessica Simpson's personal trainer, so I know her. She's 55. Ed Burns, director and actor and writer, is 41. Never really cared for him or his films, but I enjoyed his turn on Entourage. I thought he was very entertaining on that show. Heather Graham. I've always enjoyed her work.
Sure.
She is 39. And Sarah Gilbert, star of ER. And, of course, she was got her big break on Roseanne. And if I'm not mistaken, I think she is the baby sister of Melissa Gilbert, who was on Little House on the Prairie.
You're right. I believe that's true.
34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. How about tomorrow morning's Friday edition of the Kevin and Bean Show? What do we have lined up?
Well, the first thing we need to do is ask what's wrong with Bean, because he's falling apart.
He's losing it. What are you talking about?
The position of the guy who can't speak the English language is already taken by me.
He's trying to
usurp your role.
I'm
on your territory?
He is. He's the guy who can talk, and now he's starting to lose it. So
even not
good. It's not even just the talking. The thought process isn't working
anymore. Yeah, he's falling apart.
I think maybe the puppies are keeping him up at night. He's just not getting enough sleep.
Is that code?
Yeah. And by puppies, I mean young male hookers.
Yeah. Also, tomorrow morning, final look at American Idol highlights.
One more night.
Yep.
Huh?
Movie beat, because it's Friday morning. Ralph will tell you about all the new movies that are in the theater, and we'll talk to Andrew Siciliano from Tampa.
Yeah.
Bean, you want to clarify that for me?
Andrew Siciliano from Tampa.
Thank you. About the Super Bowl.
All of that tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Morning Show. But don't go anywhere. Nicole Alvarez is up next. She's got 60 minutes of commercial-free nonstop K-Rock music. How about Papa Roach's latest called Lifeline? Also, Rage Against the Machine, MGMT, Rise Against, and more next on K-Rock.